the first pasuk quotes from the Shifrei, Osa Yom Natal Eser Atoros, that that day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, was the first. It had 10 crowns. What do you mean it had 10 crowns? It was the first day of many different things. It was the first day of the first month. It was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It was Sunday. It was Rishon Yimei HaShabbos, and it was the first day in which the Avodah was not done by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Avodah was done by Kohanim, and a whole bunch of other firsts. The Mefarshim, in fact, yes, based on this tradition, that also Yom Natal Eser HaTorah, if Rosh Chodesh Nissan is on Sunday, then Pesach is going to be on Sunday. So then HaKrovas HaPesach is going to be, Erev Pesach only is the Shabbos. Obviously, the Shkitas HaPesach was the Shabbos, the Pesach Midbar. There was the Pesach Mitzrayim, and then there was the Pesach Midbar. And then the rest of the years in the Midbar, they didn't bring Korban Pesach until the days of Yishuv Benurim, Pesach Gilgal. So the Pesach, so how could the Gemara tell over a whole story in Pesach, in the beginning of Eilu Devarim, that in the days of Hillel, once it occurred that Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, and they didn't know whether they permitted to be there for Shabbos or not, they claimed not to bring the Korban Pesach. And Hillel said that it is there for Shabbos. Made a Kavachem, made a Yahusa, and they made it, and the Nasi resigned, and they appointed Hillel the Nasi. He gave his position over to Hillel. What was the Shabbos? That was the story. That was the history. The Pesach Midbar was there for Shabbos. So why do you need Yahusas in the whole story? So obviously the answer is that Pesach Midbar was a Hayru Ashur. It wasn't a regular din of a Korban Pesach. A normal din of a Korban Pesach has to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael. You can't stand in it any way you want. So obviously the answer has to lie in this Nekuda of saying Pesach Mitzrayim was clearly a Hayru Ashur. But obviously you have to say not only was Pesach Mitzrayim a Hayru Ashur, but Pesach Midbar was also a Hayru Ashur. So that's where they give different suggestions exactly why. Why was Pesach made by Rosh Hashanah? Okay. So that's, that obviously has to be needed. These special korbanos that were brought on this day were all Rosh Hashanah. There's no din l'dorot like this, that you bring, that the Tangodol brings korbanos, and the Om brings korbanos. This is all Rosh Hashanah. That's why it's a problem. It says, Pasuk Vav. How can the Pasuk say Zehadavar? Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos quotes from the Sifrei that all the other Nevi'im only speak with Koyamar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu introduces his Nevuah by sometimes saying Koyamar Hashem to Chasos HaLaila Ani Yatzei B'Sef Mitzrayim. Once in a while Moshe Rabbeinu says Zehadavar Shatziva Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher Madrega of Nevuah than that of the other Nevi'im. So the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Ben Ditchever, explains on that Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos that what he's driving at is that all of the other Nevi'im had a Nevuah Bas B'Klor Yesha'in Me'ira, because the Nevuahs are not Torah, they're not saying over Dinim Ben Noeg L'Doris. Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes had a Nevuah Bas B'Klor Yesha'in Me'ira when he was saying over Hayru Ashur, V'chalsos HaLaila Ani Yatzei B'Sef Mitzrayim. So that was a Nevuah, that wasn't the Din L'Doris. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said over at Din L'Doiroi, so then he had the Nevuah on the higher level, Bas B'Klor Yehamir. That's why he says, Zeh HaDavor, HaShetziv HaShem. Zeh HaDavor means direct quotation. It's a direct dictation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. The other Nevuahs, Mekor Mar Hashem, they had a Chazon and a Mara, and they're interpreting the Chazon and the Mara in their own words. So how, if this is a Hayru Ashur, how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces it by saying, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh HaDavar, how can he quote Zeh HaDavar word for word, letter for letter? This is only Hayru Ashur. Then he says, HaShatziva Hashem. HaShatziva also, Rashi writes in the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzav, in Lashon Tzav, Lashon Zirud Miyad Uledoris. Nibiskirov has in the Sefer HaFumish in quite a few places that the only time it says HaShatziva Hashem is when it's a Din Uledoris. When it's only Hayru Ashur, it's not going to say HaShatziva Hashem is Moshe. The word mitzvah, the word tzivui, has a technical connotation of a din which is noig l'dor. So how come over here it says in Pasuk Chof Aleph, Kasha Tziva Moshe? It says they did Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe. How come it says Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe? So the Hefreya here in Pasuk Yud, it says, that's Achela v'sakloyet v'asei yoseres merachov v'nachat zikam shtar, Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Quite a few times. Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe. How can it say Kasha Tziva? Pasuk Vos, Pasuk Zayin. But it was all Hayru Ashur. It was clearly Hayru Ashur. Everything was Hayru Ashur. It's not a dinner there. Ramban Achumish writes, the end of Parshas Noso, that there is no. He writes that there is a din l'doris, and Rabbanan the Sefer HaMitzvot has it also. There is a din l'doris that whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, we don't build so many Bat HaMikdashes. Anytime you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have a din l'doris, you have to like fill in every day, you have to say Kriyashma every day, you have to put on tzitzis, on a four-corner garment. You have din l'doris. So you have another din l'doris. Whenever it happens to be that you built a Beis HaMikdash, that didn't happen so many times. They built a Mishkan, then they built a Beis Rishi, then they built a Beis HaShem, then we're going to build the Merav Yameinu, we're going to build a Beis HaShlishi. But the Ramban says that this is called the Din L'Doris. Whenever you happen to build the Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to do miluim. There's a mitzvah to bring special korbanos. Which are the special? And the Ramban in the end of Parshas Noso, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvot, feels that that should be counted as a separate mitzvah in the Minyan HaMikdash. Which the korbanos should be, that's already Haru HaShoah. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was one set of korbanos. In the days of Vayis Rishon, when Shlomo HaMelech built it, there was another set of korbanos. In the days of Ezra Nechemia, there was a different set in Losi Lovoi. In the Nevuas Yecheskel, at the end of Sefer Yecheskel, he describes a completely different set of korbanos. And each one gets longer and longer. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a short miluim with Chanukah Hanasiim. And in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, it was bigger. In the days of Bayis Sheni, it was even bigger. And Losi Lovoi, the Bayis HaShlishi, it says it's going to be from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to Lech Sukkot. It's going to be more than 6 months. 6.5 months, they're going to bring, in addition to the Tzmidim itself, and they'll bring special miluim, special additional korbanos. Yeah, but according to the Ramban, we understand that there is a din l'doris over here. There is a mitzvah l'doris. And whenever you happen to build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring special korbanos. What the special korbanos are, that has to be governed with a nevuah. That has to be dictated with a Haru HaShoah. But there was a din l'doris. No, that's what the Mishra points out. How come in Truma and Tetzaveh and Bayakel Pikudei, so in Truma and Bayakel it doesn't say Loshen Tzivos, and in Pikudei and in Tetzaveh it does. Tetzaveh, where it appears, after Tetzaveh. And then in Pikudei it says that this is 18 times, I think. Kasher Tziv Hashem is Moshe. How come? So that's what explains it. If you look carefully, he says everything in Truma and in Vayakel was Haru HaShoah, and all the things in Tiksava and Tikudei were Dinam L'Doris. The big Dekuna had to be the same. The structure of the Mishkan, that was Haru HaShoah. Some of the things were L'Doris, some of the things were Haru HaShoah. So if you say like that, Ramban is Nich. Ramban claims that there's such a mitzvah L'Doris. It's a Gemara that sounds like the Ramban. More in the first parak in Moed Kroton sounds like the Ramban. That there is such a Din L'Doris. That whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring, you have to be mechanechid by bringing special korbanos. Even if one will say not like the Ramban, there's also a makom to explain over here why this nevuah was given in a dictation, word for word, letter for letter. Zeh hadavar was given asher tziv Hashem, lashon mitzvah. The Bahad has a minyan mitzvah, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, and his minyan mitzvah he counts Trumas HaMeches as one of the mitzvahs. Shumas HaMeches was that they had to give Echad Achuz Min HaChamishim and Echad Achuz Min Chamesh HaMeyos. They had to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has the 14 Sharashim. The Rambam starts off with the 14 Sharashim where he gives you what he thinks merits being counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and what does not deserve to be included. So the Rambam says that one of the klalim, the first klal is that you don't count dinim the rabban. The second klal is that you only count dinim the mishanoi gudaris. Whatever is only Haru HaShoah, you don't count. So this is the Rambam has a hasaga. He disagrees with the Bahag. How come the Bahag counted the Trumas HaMeches in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? How come the Rambam counted Trumas HaMeches in the Minyan HaMitzvahs? Trumas HaMeches was only Haru HaShoah. Such dinim gudaris in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. The Trumas HaMeches at the gate. So the Ramban wants to suggest Terutzim on the Bahag. Ramban writes in the Hakdomah to his running commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot. Whatever he says doesn't necessarily represent his own opinion. He's just coming to defend the Bahag. What he writes in the Mohammed also, he writes, it doesn't necessarily mean that he really holds like everything that he said. He just says one can defend the Rift. He says the Balamor is a young guy. Balamor writes that he's only 19 years old. And he's ripping apart the Rif, and he's making believe like the Rif is an idiot. So the Ramban says that you can easily defend the Rif And he gives all of these tzivut, but he writes in his introduction, it doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with everything that he writes in the Mokams. Doesn't necessarily, sometimes it does represent his shittiya piluk and other Rambans to see. So here the Ramban comes to defend his Bahag, why he counts the Trumas HaMechet as an independent mitzvah, the Minyan HaMitzvah, so he writes, perhaps one can give two tzivut, perhaps one can say that it is a din l'dor, that whenever you wage war, and the Israeli army, the Jewish army, conquers Metalkalin, so maybe there's a din l'dor, that they always have to donate so much to the Beit HaMikdash. That's one teretz that he suggests. That teretz is very, very shver. On the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have the Megillah Esther, the commentary where he tries to defend the Rambam from the tainus of the Ramban. So he writes that there's a Beferishi Gemara Menachos in Perek HaTeida, where it says not so. It says Beferish, that Trumas HaMechus is only HaRosho, it's not a din l'dor. So Ramban is a Beshvet against the Gemara. Perek Mim also has this. And that Trostik in Trumas HaMechus, so he has this discussion. He goes to Ramban, who says that it's a din l'dor, and then he shows the Megillah Esther, quotes the Gemara in Perek HaTeida, that it's only HaRosho, it's Beferish. That Teretz of the Ramban is not correct against the Gemara. But then the Ramban gives another teretz. He says that maybe the Bahag felt the following. Maybe the Bahag also agrees that whenever something is purely a Hayrashah, you don't include it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. But there are two types of Hayrashah. Sometimes there's a Hayrashah where there's a Kiyum L'dor, and sometimes there's a Hayrashah where there's no Kiyum. For example, when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Haremis Matzo Al Hayom Uvukoeyo, that he should pick up a stick and split three as Yamsu. So there is no Din L'dor like that. There's no kin. Not only are we not obligated to do it today, even if we'll do it, we won't accomplish a kriyas yamsuf, and even if we do, we won't have any kima mitzvah. Even if it would work, there wouldn't be a kima mitzvah l'dor. Or what else? It says that before Erev Pesach, everybody had a mitzvah in Mitzrayim to knock on the neighbor's doors and to ask for presents. So let's say I'll knock on the doors of my non-Jewish neighbors in Bennett Avenue, and I'll ask for presents on our Pesach. Even if they'll see a reason why they should give me presents, and I will succeed in getting presents, there won't be a Kiyum HaMitzvah at all. There's no Kiyum HaMitzvah. Not only that, there's no Chiyuv Bizman HaZeh. There's no Kiyum. There's nothing. Or what else? Not to leave over till the morning. Not to leave over the month till the morning. So let's say they'll sell something in the store that's called month. Somebody is something. Some of the store sells something that's called month. So if I'll have month, so it'll be a dinner, I have to eat it right away. I shouldn't leave it over. There's no din l'doros. There's no, even if you would have mon, there wouldn't be there's no kiyum l'doros at all. There are some dinim that were purely harosha. There's absolutely no kiyum l'doros. Then there are other dinim which were true. They're only harosha means that the chiyuv hagabra, the obligation to do this, is only harosha. But the kiyum is a kiyum l'doros. For example, trumas hamechas, donate things to the Beis Hamikdash, is certainly kiyum hamitzvah. There's no chiyuv to do it. So perhaps that's the Ramban writes. Perhaps that's where their Baal Halachas Gedolos counts. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs, Trumas HaMechas, although clearly the chiyuv to give achor achuz min hachamishim, one out of every unit, and one out of every 50 units, one out of every 500 units to the soldiers and to the true, the chiyuv to give Trumas HaMechas was only l'shoah, but the kiyum HaMitzvah is clearly a kiyum l'dor. So perhaps that's the story over here. Whenever you have korbanos, whenever you bring achatos and oilo ashlamim, this is certainly a kiyum HaMitzvah. It's not just that the chiyuv is, it's not, the whole thing is not, it's not that the whole thing from A to Z is a Hayrasha. The obligation to bring these particular Karbanas is only Hayrasha, but the Kiyum in bringing Karbanas in general is clearly a Kiyum Adar. So perhaps that's the reason why it says here that it was given in the higher level of Nebuah. It was given a Pchin of Zeh HaDavar, a Pchin of Aspect Gloria HaMe'ira here, where there was a direct dictation word for word letter for letter. That's why the term is used four or five times, Hashet Tziva Hashem. That it was in a certain sense a mitzvah. It wasn't a chiyuv, but there was a kiyum mitzvah at least. There was a kiyum mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu tells in Pasuk Zayin, "Vayomer Moshe Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu." Vayomer Moshe Alam Krav El Hamizbeach Vasay Eschat Eschovis Olasech Vechaper Ba'atcha Ba'aham Asayes Korban Hom Vechaper Ba'adam. So it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu tells Kasha Tziva Hashem. He says Hashem commanded that you should do the Avodah, Krav El Hamizbeach. So the Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is that you need a Kohen Gadol. You need a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah. Rashi says, Shehoya Aaron Boish, V'yari Lagesh, Sama Lama Moshe, Loma Ata Boish, L'kach Nechartah. You were chosen, you should do the Avodah. So the Pasuk Pshat in Pasuk Zayin is that the Avodah is done by the Kohen Gadol over here. We know all year long the Avodah is only done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Every other avodah can be done by kohen hedik. You have the chavit that kohen gadol was brought every day, means that he was obligated to bring the chavit, means that he had to be the balakam. He had to pay for it from his money. It came from his bank account. He had to pay for it. Of course, if that's what the job requires, that you have to pay him a salary, that he should have enough money to be able to fund the purchasing of the chavit de kohen gadol. Either you appoint a rich man as the kohen gadol, or if he's not rich, so the din is that you have to give him enough money that he should be able to afford to bring those special korbanos that he had to pay for. So the chavit de kohen gadol that were carried by the kohen gadol every day doesn't mean that he did the avodah. The avodah can be done by kohen hedid. If he wants it, he can do the avodah. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't have to. It means that he was the bala korban. Let's say a person says hare alai oila, hare alai shlomim, and he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not a kohen, so of course he doesn't do the avodah. He just pays for the korban. Let's say a korban pesach, I'm not a kohen. Or let's say someone was mahal shabbos b'shoygek, he ate chelum adam b'shoygek, he has to bring a korban chatzbam, and he has to bring. He has to pay for it. He doesn't bring it. He can do the shchita. He can do the kabbalah halacha and the zrika. The avodah cannot be done by a non kohen. So when you say somebody has to bring a carbon, he has to fund the bringing of the carbon, he has to ask the others, the Kohanim, to bring it. But here it sounds from the Pasuk that this carbon had to, the Avodah had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. That's the Pasuk Pshat. That's a Rashi in the beginning of Yuma. And the first Sugya in Yuma, the Gemara discusses, how do you know that the Kohen Gadol required Prisha Shivas Yomim, Kodim Yom HaKippurim? So the Gemara has a Machlekes of Yechon Rish Lakish, what the Mokar is, so one of them learns it out and they took them over here, that they needed Prisha 7 days. One learns it out from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was poor 7 days before he went into the Yonah. And the other Shita there, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlokas, the other Amor learns it out from the Pesukim here, that Aaron needed Prisha 7 days before he began to do the Avodah. So Rashi on that Sugya explains them what he needed Prisha 7 days before what? What was the Shemini Lemelumah? So Rashi writes there in the beginning of Yuma, Dab Gimel, Dab Dalet. He writes that all the avodas on the Shemini Lemelumah were mutolim al Aharon. All the avodas had to be done by Aharon. So the Rashash and that Rashi asks Akasha from Pasuk Tes. Yeah, Rashi sounds like Rashi in Yuma. It sounds like just saying all the Pasuk Zayin. Bravel Hamizbeh, Vaseh Eskatasfa, Vaseh Eskorbanu. You should do the avodah. Sounds like the avodah has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. But then when you read Pasuk Ches, it says, Pasuk Ches says that Aaron did the Shechita. Shechita Ksheir of Bazar. He didn't really have to do the Shechita, but he even did the Shechita. And then it says in Pasuk Ches, but he didn't do the Kabbalah Sadam. He didn't do the Kabbalah Sadam, he didn't do the Havocha Sadam. By Akriva B'nei Aharon Sadam Eloh, by Itbalah Zbo Adam, he did the Zrika Sadam. By Itbalah Zbo Adam, the Pasuk says that there's a difference between Achatos and an Oilo. Achatos is Kodemis Oilo. Whenever you have Achatos and an Oilo, they come together. Or even if they don't come as a unit, let's say one man comes in the Beis HaMikdash, he's bringing an echatos, another man's coming bringing an oiler. And the kohen is there and he says, okay, who's here? Who has korbanos? So they both raise their hand. They both have korbanos. So which one should he do first? The Mishnah says, echatos is kodemus loiler. You bring echatos before you bring an oiler. In both cases, both if it's a unit of korbanos, here it's a unit, a special series of korbanos that consists of echatos and an oiler. So echatos kodemus loiler. And then there's another din, even if you have two unrelated korbanos. Yankel brings a chatas and the shmerel brings an oilo, so he's supposed to bring the chatas before the oilo. Unless Yankel came at 9 in the morning, the shmerel comes at 11:30. Of course, then you bring the oilo first before the chatas. The bala chatas is not here today. But if they're both there, if you would be mishana the same, you would bring the oilo before the chatas. So it depends. If the two are unrelated, one is Yankel's chatas, one is shmerel's oilo. I would say that it passes by the Yevit if you brought the oilo before the chatas. It wouldn't pass by the Yevit. But if it's one series of korbanos, like over here, it's a series of korbanos of the korban yoledes. It's a series she's mechuyev, the beginning of Parshas Tazria. She's obligated to bring a series of korbanos, a chatas with an oilo. So there, in Kiddush and Daf Yud Gimel, there's a discussion in the Tosfos and in the Rashba. There's the Seder Ma'akev B'Yevet. Maybe the Seder is Ma'akev B'Yevet over there. Because why should the Seder be Ma'akev B'Yevet? Why shouldn't it just be the Hatzilah? Because the Ritva explains there. What's the whole issue that the Rishonim are debating? The Rishonim don't explain what the issue is. But the Ritva is the first one who explains over there in the Daf. Because there is a din of Mechus Hazman. There is a din that you're not permitted to bring a korban before the correct Zman. So what is normally before the correct Zman? So there's different kinds. One is if a korban, a behema was just born. So it says Shivas Yamim Yitachasimo. Mamishmiri Bahali Yiratul Korban Ishel Hashem. If you bring the korban on the 8th day before it didn't even live 8 days, so then it's an Easter to bring a mechus Zman, and it's possible even with the Yevet. That's one kind of mechus Zman. Then there's another kind of mechus Zman let's say a Yoledes brings a Chatos Yoledes Teicham Alois. She's supposed to wait till the 41st day, till the 81st day, depending whether she had a baby boy or baby girl. So she brings the Chatos Yoledes, she brings the Karbonis before the Zman, so that's an Isser of bringing a Mechusa Zman, and that Karbon will be possible also. You have the Isser, you have the Psur. So some Rishonim say that this is also an issue of Mechusa Zman. If the Halacha requires that you're supposed to bring, whenever you have Chatos and an Oilo, Chatos Kodem and an Oilo, so the Oilo is a Mechusa Zman. You're not supposed to bring the Oilo until you first bring the Chatos. So if you bring the Oilo first, maybe there's a Mechusa to say that the Oilo should be possible because it's a Mechusa Zman. Gemara has a whole discussion in Yuma whether there's a din of Mechusa Zman or Bobayom. Maybe the whole din of Mechusa Zman only applies when you're at least a day off. Supposed to wait till Shiva Siyam and Tachasim and Yom Shemini Vahal Yirat of the Korban Nisha Hashem. Supposed to wait till tomorrow. You brought the Korban on the 7th day, on the 6th day, on the 4th day, 5th day. You brought it way before, a day in, at least a day in advance. Or the Yoledes, instead of waiting till the 41st day, the 81st day, she brought the Korban Chatos HaYoledes Tochamalos. So maybe there there's a din, maybe only there there's a din of Mechusa Zman that is possibly added, because Mamish Mechusa day, the whole marker of the Psul of Mechusa Zman is by Yom HaShemini V'Holo Yirat Zeretav Nisha Hashem. But if it's a Mechusa Zman of Bob Ayom, then you're supposed to first bring the oil, then bring the Chatos. But really, I could bring the Chatos today. It's already the 41st day of the Leidas baby boy, and the Yoledes is about to bring the Chatos and then the oil, and by mistake she brought first the oil and then the Chatos. How can you say that that's called Mechusa Zman? Because she should have first brought the Chatos and then the oil. So she brought the oil first before the Chatos. So that's what the Rishonim discussed there. Maybe there is a din, maybe there's not a din. That's the topic in Kiddush and Dashi Gimel. But anyway, here you see that that's what they did. They observed the din. It says that they did first, he did first the Chatos, then the oil, both by his own, by the Chatos Aaron that Aaron had to pay for, then by the Tzibur had to also pay. Well, Bnei Yisrael to Dabalayim, they had to bring a Chatos and an oil and a Shalmi Tzibur. As Zivchei Shalmi Tzibur, so there also it says, Vayakrevus Karban Ha'am, Pasuk Tezvah, Vayikach Asir HaChatos, HaShalom HaShchatei VaChatei Karishan, Pasuk Tezvah, Vayakrevus Oil, Vayaseh HaKamishpot, then he brought first the Chatos, then the Oil, it says he did both, correct. And it describes also the difference between the Zrikas Adam of the Chatos and the Oil. The Gemara says all the time that all of the Korbanos you do the Zrikas Adam, you take a cup, and you spill a dam on his bear. Sometimes you spill four times, three times, two times, one time, whatever, but you spill from the cup. The only carbon that needs matan etzba that the kohen has to dip his finger in and put it on his bear like this is only by chatos. That's what it says. By a pasuk test, by a kriv ben haranis adam, by itbal etzba adam iten a karnis on his bear. That was by, he did the four zrikas on his bear with matan etzba, and then there was shficha shirayim to the yisoid. There's Adam Yotzach on Yisrael on his bech. The leftover dam, after doing the four zrikas, he poured on Yisrael on his bech. That's on the bottom. Chatos has the zrikas on top. The oilo doesn't say like that. It says in Pasuk Yitbeis, Vayish chatos oilo first the chatos then the oil. Vayam tzib in aharon oilo v'sadam is v'keir on his bech sovik. It doesn't say that he did matan etzba. You don't need matan etzba by the others. All you need is a zrika from the clip. But I'll call upon him. The Pasuk, that's what the Rashash asks in the beginning of Yuma, and that Rashi on that Gimel on that. On the Abdalid, how can Rashi make such a statement? Even though the Pasuk Zion sounds like it, that on the Shmini, the Miluim Bola, by the Sayyim was Mitalas on the Kengodl, it says the Farish, that the Kabbalah Saddam and the Halacha Saddam was done by the Yahar and the Kohanim, was done by their children. They were not Kohanim, the Berlin. They didn't have the Din of Kengodl, they were Kohanim at Yaitan. For the summer, what you have to say over here is like this. On Yom Kippurim, the din is that you need the avodah to be done by Kohen Gadol. If it's done by Kohen Hedyot, it's possible to have it here. And Shmini Limnuim, Rashi in the Pasuk, Zayin, Rashi and the Gemara and Yuma, based on this Pasuk. Rashi just quotes the Pasuk, Krav Ham is bad. It's not Rashi's fault. What's the Rashash attacking Rashi? Rashi just quoted our Pasuk in the Chumash. The Pasuk speaks for itself. Without that, the Pasuk speaks for itself. The Pasuk says the avodah had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. You have to explain this done, it means like this. The Kohen Gadol is mechuyev to do the avodah all year long. Who is mechuyev to do the avodah on the tminim u'masafim, a roll of korbanos? The tminim u'masafim, the chiyuv havoah is on the tzibur. That private person is mechuyev to bring a korban pesach, is mechuyev to bring a korban chatos, an asham, or he accepted upon himself a neder and a dove of a shlamim or an oilon. So he's mechuyev to bring a korban. Who's mechuyev to do the avodah? The chiyuv tzias avodah is mutelas al kol ha'kohanim b'shogeg. You can't say it's more mechuyev, the Kohen Gadol is more mechuyev than anybody else. There's room perhaps to say that the Kohen Gadol is mechuyev to supervise everything. That's perhaps what you can say. So Rejik, once pointed out the name of Rav Chaim, there's a pasuk in Zechariah that we read in the Haftarah of Hanukkah, Shabbos Hanukkah, where the pasuk seems to imply that it's the Kohen Gadol's responsibility to supervise Akrovas Kol HaKarbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. It says obligation to supervise, but he's not mechuyev to do the avodas. On Yom Kippur, he's the only one who's kosher to do the avodas. Here on the Shmini Lemiluim, perhaps what the pasuk means to say is that Aaron HaKohen the Kohen Gadol was obligated to do the Karbonos. It's his chiyuv to do the Karbonos. Let's say I have a house, I'm mechuyev to do bedikas chametz, but I can appoint a shliach to do bedikas chametz also. There's a din, a mitzvah bo yotzei mevishvucha. L'chatchila I should do it myself, but if I have someone else do it for me, so I am yotzei in the mitzvah. It's my chiyuv to do bedikas chametz. You're not mechuyev to do bedikas chametz in my house. If you do it in my house, you're doing a favor to me. It's really my chiyuv to do it. Any other Jew is kosher to do. All Jewish people are kosher to do the bedikas chametz. But the chiyuv bedikas chametz is mutal on the Baal HaBayis. Here also, perhaps that's what the pasuk means to say. Grabel hamizbech va'aseyas chatnasot, etc. That the chiyuv hakrovus hakavanus is mutal on the Kohen Gadol. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Kohen Gadol is the only one is kosher to do it. Like I have a chiyuv to do bedikas chametz in my house, but kol yisrael aksherim to do it. So here also, it's not like avodas yamikipur. The Rashash Tainis. How can it be that the Kabbalah and the Halacha were done by Kohen Medyot? The answer is, it's not that for the Hekshu HaVoy they need a Kohen Gadol. The Chiyuv HaKrovah is Mutal on Aaron HaKohen. More so than all year long, just the Kohen Gadol all year long is Mechiv to supervise everything. But it doesn't mean that he's Mechiv to do it, and you would say Mitzvah Bo Yosem and B'Shulcha. But here on the Shemini Limiluim, that's what the Pasuk seems to say. That it was his obligation. So Taka, if it was his obligation, how come he let his children do it? On Yom Kippurim, the Shechita is Ksheir of the Zahn. And still the Kohen Gadol used to do the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and this week he did everything. So if it's possible for the Kohen Gadol to do everything, he could have done it here also on the Shmini Lemeluim. So if it was Taka his Chiyuv, why didn't he Taka do Mitzvah Bo Yosma B'Shlucha? Why Taka didn't Aaron do everything? It would have been possible. It's not that it's physically impossible for him to do everything. Could have done the Shechita, and there Kach Shechita Al Yod. He could have had another Kohen head to finish off the Shechita. He could have done the Kabbalah, the Halacha, and this week everything. So perhaps this pasuk is the Haychacha to the Prima Godim as you saw. The Prima Godim has a Chiddush and Hilchas Bedikas Chomeis that we have a Klal of Mitzvah Bo Yosem B'Shlucha. So he writes, what if I have a big apartment that has 14 rooms? So it's my obligation to do Bedikas Chomeis. You're not Mufiyev to do for me, but if it's going to take me. It's going to take me 10 minutes a room, let's say 140 minutes to do the biggest comment in the house. That's a lot of time. So what if I want to give over the whole job to 14 people and each one will be burning one room? So the thing is, I will be yosei thereby, but I will be in violation of the heder of mitzvah bo yosei mishlucha. So how much of the bedikah do I have to do myself that I should be yosei mitzvah bo yosei mishlucha? I have to do right. I have to do more than 50%. So the Prima Godim says, no, if I'm burning one room, must be. If the Baal Bayis is burning one room, you yotzei mitzvah bo yosei mishlucha. You don't have to do the whole job from A to Z. Mitzvah bo yosei mishlucha just requires you should do part of the job. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. On Yom Kippurim, the Halacha says not only the Kohen Gadol has to do the avodah, the chiyuv is mutal, the chiyuv is mutalos alav, the hechsher avodah needs a Kohen Gadol. If you don't have it done by Kohen Gadol, simply it's not kosher. The Kohen Gadol had to do everything. But on the Shmini Lemiluim, it's clear from the Pesukim that you don't require Kohen Gadol for the Hechsher Avodah. It's just that the Chiyuv for Avodah was Mutal on the Kohen Gadol. So part of the Avodah he was. He did part of the Avodah. So perhaps that's sufficient to fulfill the Hidur of Mitzvah Bo, Yerushalmi B'Shlucha. The Maharach or Zerua writes in one of his Tshuvas, he's the son of the Zerua, he writes in one of his Tshuvas that you don't always apply mitzvah bo yosem b'mishlucha. Take for example, plucking off the esrog from the tree. You don't say mitzvah bo yosem b'mishlucha. Or buying the esrog. You're going to say, they're buying the esrog. I have to go down to the east side and buy the esrog myself. And I send my son, he picks it up for me, he's no good. You send the shamus, yes, the rabbi to pick out an esrog for you, it's no good, you have to pick it out yourself. It's not, there's no mitzvah bo yosem b'mishlucha on buying the esrog. Some mitzvahs you do say, some mitzvahs you don't. Yeah, it's not a mitzvah. That's the answer. It's not a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. So when you have a mitzvah, then you say, and a hechsher mitzvah you don't. But even in mitzvahs gufa, there's a question. Sometimes, it would appear, sometimes you don't apply mitzvah bayos mishlo. So when does it apply, when doesn't it? So the Maharaj or Zeruah raises the question, how do we all send our children to learn in a yeshiva? See, if the father isn't capable of teaching his son Gemara with Tosfos, I'll finish Kambrera. So he has to send his child to the yeshiva that the Malamed should teach him. But if the father is able to teach his son himself, how does he send his child to the yeshiva? Let's say Alephes. The father can teach Alephes also. So how does he send his kid to the yeshiva to learn Alephes? He should say Mitzvah Boyos and Mishluchai. The father should teach the son himself in order to fulfill this Hidur, Mitzvah Boyos and Mishluchai. So the Maharaj HaZeruah tries to give an explanation why Mitzvah Boyos and Mishluchai doesn't apply to that. That's a mitzvah. That's not a Hidur. That's not a Hechsher mitzvah. That's a real mitzvah. To teach Torah to your children. And he explains that he suggests that the whole nature of the mitzvah is the secret that the kids should know. So as long as whenever there's a mitzvah that's in order to bring about a certain tachlis, in order to bring about a certain result, so as long as they bring about the result by hook or by crook, so you're into the mitzvah, why should it make a difference? Mitzvah bar yosem of shlul. He says as long as he send the kid to chedin, the kid knows his stuff. So there's no reason that you should say mitzvah or yos mishlo. When the mitzvah is fulfilled by doing the maisa mitzvah, when the mitzvah consists of doing a particular act, this is the kima mitzvah, the maisa mitzvah, so then the proper thing is lachatchila to do with yourself. It's a shver
bar. So you don't know
the yos mishlo by tikas karam? There are a lot of kashas on that marach. There's a stirim in Eibay and the tshuvas marach HaRazuah. The same stirim, in the same tshuvah, there's a shtikala stirim. I don't know. There are a lot of kashas on him. So I thought the pashtus is simple. That according to the Prima Gadol, mitzvah bar yosem mishlucha doesn't require that the father should teach the child kolat or kula. When the kid comes home, the father's busy. The father comes home, the father goes to office to the office early in the morning before the kid wakes up, and he comes back at night after the kid is already sleeping in bed. So he doesn't even see the kid all week. But on Shabbos and on Yantar, the father learns with the kid. He learns Chumash, he learns Mishnayos, he chazes the Gemara with the child. So as long as he chazes a little bit with the child from time to time, not at the age of 5 and the age of 13. Every week, every month, the father learns a little bit with the child. Lo yimolek, it's not shak. The father should teach something to the child. So I thought that's the way to fulfill the mitzvah, the hider, a mitzvah bo yosem mishloch, like Aaron HaKohen over here. He did part of the avodah. He wasn't obligated to do the entire avodah. The Gemara in Beitza in the second parak comments of all places in Masechet Beitza. The Gemara comments on a pasuk that has to do with Inyone Kachim in this pasuk. By Yakrevis Korban Ho'el, when he brought his korban, he brought first the chatas then the oil. When he brought the korban home, he brought first the chatas then the oil. It says by Yishvatehu, by Yichatehu, by Yikach Asir Achatas Hashavam. He brought the chatas om, and he did the avodas exactly the same as he did by his chatas, as his own chatas. The avodas the matan etzba, the shvicha shirayim liyisoid. Then pasuk tezayin zin by a prayer. So lo vayaseh hakamishpot. He brought the korban oilos om, and he brought it the same way you're supposed to bring. So it doesn't say vayaseh hakarishon. It doesn't say that he brought it the same way he brought his own oilos yofit. So what does that mean? Vayakrev soilo, vayaseha kamishpot. The last pasuk in the first aliyah. Vayaseha kamishpot. So the Gemara in Beitza, one Beitza doesn't have too many dinim about kachim. Yuma has a lot about kachim. Beitza has very little. The Gemara in Beitza has a limud. The Tarat Mima quotes it on this pasuk. And Rashi quotes it. Rashi on this pasuk quotes it. Pasuk Tazan. Vayakrev soilo, this was an oilos choivo. There are two types of oilos. A chatos in an ashram is always bore b'choiva. A korban pesach is a choiva, you never have an adobo. But a korban oilo and a korban shlamim is sometimes a choiva and sometimes it's bore b'adobo. So this pasuk means to say, v'yakrevus oilo v'yaseha kamishpat, kimishpat oilos nadobo. That the oilos choiva has all the exact, it's a hekesh, oilos choiva has all the exact same dinim as oilas nedovel, am I not kemina? What's the significance of this? And how come it's in the middle of Beit and Afkot? So there, the Mishnah Beit has a machlekes between Meshama and Bisilo regarding smicha and oilas chayva. Where do you have an oilas chayva? Oilas riya. On the Shalosh Shabbat, you have to bring an oilas riya on Yom, not on Erev Pesach, on Pesach. sometime. Machloek Mishnah is still, you can bring the other three on Yontif, Ronei Chalamoit, we pass, we can even bring it on Yontif. But Chalamoit for sure you can bring it. So you have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you have to bring an Oyla Tzriya. Leiro Kol Tzkorchas Tanei Hashanu. Okay, everybody, all the men have to be Oyla Regel, and Leiro Fanei Reikam, they're not allowed to come empty handed, they have to bring with them a Korban Oyla Tzriya. So that's an Oyla Tzriya. So the Gemara at one time has suggested that the Machleg is Bishan and Bishilo, whether you need Smicha Min HaTorah by Oyla Tzriya or not. Smicha is only described in the opening Pesukim in Vayikra by Oyla Tzriya. When a man volunteers on his own to bring a korban, they say he does smicha, has to leave mechol korban. What about oilas chayva? Does it also need smicha or not? So it says the favor said it does. So the Gemara at one point suggested that there's a machlekes b'sham yisilu whether this smicha is deraisa derabon. And if you hold that it's deraisa, what's the mocker? This is the mocker. Vayakrev b'soil or vayaseh hakamishpot. In this passage we see that oilas chayva has all the same dinim. Hekesh, ain't hekesh l'matzef, made a z. The dinim are exactly identical. Oilas Choyva has all the exact same dinim as Oilas Nadova. So just like Oilas Nadova requires smicha, so to Oilas Choyva requires smicha. The Shaila, if you hold that the smicha is only with the Rabbanon, according to one suggestion in the Gemara, the smicha was only needed with the Rabbanon. If the smicha is only with the Rabbanon, then Gemara backs out it. It's not the machloek of Shanti Sila. Everybody holds that smicha is Oilas Choyva with the rice. It's a different machloek. How can smicha be with the Rabbanon? You're allowed to lean on an animal. You do smicha, you don't just put your hands on it. You lean before Choyva. If you're obligated to do smicha, then it's permissible. If you're not obligated to do smicha, then it's an isser of avoda b'kachim. So how is one permitted to do avoda b'kachim? So the Gemara has in Chagiga, the Gemara says that it says in the opening Pesukim in Vayikra that women do not have an obligation. The second pasuk in Vayikra, pasuk based Dabel b'nei Yisrael ma'ataleihem. Then it says that to do smicha. So the Gemara has a comment, B'nai Yisrael Samcha, Nei Minai Yisrael Samchers. There it says, Kiddush and Daf Lamed Vav and Lach, and Rosh Hashanah at the end of the first parak, and a few places in Shas. So what if a woman wants to volunteer to do Smicha? So the Gemara says in Chagiga that it's forbidden. A woman is not permitted to volunteer. She'll be Yoyvan the Yisrael Avodah B'Kotcha. Would we allow the woman to do an imitation Smicha? The Gemara has a Lashon Bakufa Yedaiku, just to have your hands float. Akufa means to float. To have your hands float on top of the korban. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Would be allowed them to do an imitation smicha, or are we up because they feel bad that they cheated, they don't have an opportunity to do the full mitzvah. When they bring a korban, so they can't do smicha. So one Tana says, well, you want to make them happy, so let them do an imitation smicha just by having their hands on top. They're not really in fulfillment of the mitzvah, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah smicha, you have to have smicha b'chol korban. The other Tana says, no, we are afraid, we are chosheish. Pesach explains in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak, Yachoshesh, if you'll allow them just to hold their hands on top of the carbon to do an imitation smicha, then maybe it'll be Voli Dei Michshol, maybe they'll do a real smicha, because they'll see all the other men are doing smicha leaning. Smicha b'chol koicha, leaning on the carbon, and that's whenever you're not obligated, that's an Isra Avodah B'Kodshim. So the women may make a mistake and they may do that all. So that's a machloek satanah, my Yachoshesh, Shemi Yovel Dei Michshol or not. So Tosis points out on different Gemaras, and here Rabbi Kivega points out on the Mishnayos and Beit. If one opinion in the Gemara at what point was that smicha ba'oilas chayva, oilas riyah, and every one of the shal shugalim, oilas riyah is an oilas chayva, smicha and oilas chayva is only the Rabbanon, then the men have to be men. This is the Yiro Kol Tzchuch, and the men who bring, the women don't bring oilas riyah. The men come and the men bring oilas riyah. Then all the men have to be careful just to do akufi yedaifu. It's interesting that they have to be careful. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanan regarding asham metzora, where the smicha by asham metzora is the rice of the rabbanon. So Tosis points out that if it's only the rabbanon, so they have to be careful not to do smicha b'chol korban, just to do an imitation smicha. And here Tosis doesn't even point it out. Here Rabbi Kivega points it out on Mishnayos that it wasn't a full fledged. If you hold it's only the rabbanon, you're not allowed to do a full fledged smicha. It'd be an isur avodah b'kodesh. We assume that it's a real chiyuv deraisa. We understand this pasuk by Yakrev B'Soil, by Yaseh HaKamishpot, that this is the hekesh. That there is a hekesh between Oilas Choyva and Oilas Nedove, and then hekesh L'matzah has all the exact same deal. The pasuk says that Aaron did all the avodas and his children helped him out a little bit. Says the Pharisee, they did the Kabbalah Saddam, the Ailocha Saddam, and after they finished doing everything, the last few words in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Aaron said, "Duchani, Yirecha Kol Yoyer Yisa." Rashi quotes Birchas Kohanim. He said the Nesias Kapayim. So all of a sudden, what did he? The next pasuk says pasuk Chav Gimel. Vayova Moshe v'Aaron alone, but Vayitzu by Baruch Hashem. They gave a bracha. Hinoim Hashem Alkechem Aleichem. He said the Hinoim on that occasion. He wrote the Shetish Cheshchinim Emaisi Yedek, and that's what it means. That's why we say the Hinoim on Matzoi Shabbos. Because then Binyan Beis Hamikdash Derech Hashabbos. We hope and pray Hakadosh Baruch Hu should build the Beis Hamikdash on a Shabbos. There's nothing to hope and pray. You're not allowed to be Derech Hashabbos for the purpose of Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So as soon as Shabbos is over, you say right away the Hinoim. We hope that we'll have an opportunity to build the Beis Hamikdash this week. That's why the minig is a minig Agavi minig. That when Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week. So on Yom Tov, when Yom Tov doesn't fall out, so you have 6 days. You have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can build the Beis Hamikdash. The next Shabbos, you can build the Beis Hamikdash. If Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, so you don't even have 6 full days. Then your Beis Hamikdash is not Derech Shabbos either. Not only not Derech Shabbos, not Derech Yom Tov either. So whenever Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, so we leave out the Hinoyah. But whenever Tisha B'Av is on Matzoi Shabbos, then we don't say Vihinoyim. If Tisha B'Av falls out in the middle of the week, maybe it won't be Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is on Monday. What do you mean? You're not going to say Vihinoyim, because Tisha B'Av is the day on which we mourn the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So you're not going to say Vihinoyim. Who says there will be Tisha B'Av? Maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built on Sunday. Maybe there won't be any Tisha B'Av. But if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, that is Tisha B'Av already. So what are you going to say Vihinoyim? There is no Beis HaMikdash. Today is Tisha B'Av, we're about to mourn the korban of the Beis HaMikdash. You leave out Yinoyim. That's a shaila. What if Pesach falls out? Huh? What if Pesach falls out on Shabbos? What if Pesach falls out on Shabbos? And Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you're not supposed to do Malacha. So do you say Vihinoyam? The Matzoi Shabbos before. So Pei Yeshua talks about that again. I think the Pei Yeshua on Pesach, beginning of Machmas Shenagu, talks about that. So other Achareim have a pilpul about that. Whether the Isra Malacha on Erev Pesach Yechza Chatzos is a real din deraisa or it's a din derabbanan. What exactly is it based on? Based on the fact that Erev Pesach Yechza Chatzos is described in Parshas Amor among the more. It says Eilam Yad Hashem, the other parsha somewhere. Eilam Yad Hashem, and then it lists off Erev Pesach Yechta Chatzos is a moed. Then it says Tezvav Nissan is also a moed. So it's described by the Chumash as a moed. So the Yeshua and others claim that the Gaon has this also. That apparently Erev Pesach Yechta Chatzos has the status of a yontif. So that's where the Tanoim got it from. That it should be also the Malacha. So does it? So there's a machlokes exactly how far you go. It's also the Malacha only Yechta Chatzos, because you cannot bring the Korban Pesach in the morning. Or should I say no? How can you split? So the whole day has to be also the Malacha. The whole day is a yontif, and you only bring the korban after Chatzos. Yeah. To say that it should be also the Malacha and the Atar is a strange. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is also the Malacha and the Atar. You're not allowed to. And Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Deicha. Is not. Let's say they hadn't yet. It comes Erev Pesach in the afternoon, in Yerushalayim, and we have an opportunity now, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, to build the Beis HaMikdash. You would say that it's not Deicha yontif. That Erev Pesach Yechta Chatzos is a din like Yontif and it's not Deicha Yontif. Chalamoy, you're allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash, no? Erev Pesach is more common than Chalamoy. Then you wouldn't be allowed. Is that a pilkul? No, it's a pilkul nachron. Will Yom Tovim be bottle? Lasi lova? No, why should they be bottle? If such a Yerushalmi, in the end of Hilchas Megillah, the Hagoyes Maimon, he quotes such a Yerushalmi that lots of love, all the Yom Tov will be Baku except for Purim. So it says, Me'er Pum Heil Le'yosef how does it say? It'll never cease to exist. But that's the Poshub Shat, the Yerushalmi is going on the Yom Tov of Megillah Tainus. That's by us. They used to. The Zman Bayi Shenin used to have every month in Gedonishtik there was another holiday. Like by the Chassidim, they don't say Tachnun. This year, Rabbi Zion says that really gets it. That's a little bit of a joke. But his mom by shame, they had real things that they were celebrating about. So every month in Gedanishtik, there was another holiday, and some of these holidays were 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, Chodesh Nissan. Chodesh Nissan is still a carryover from his mom by shame, that was in the Megillah Tainus. And after the Churban by shame, so the Gemara has the Machlok Satanoim and the Machlok Samaraim, and we pass in the Maskon and Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yitches, that Megillah Tainus was Botlo. All the Yom Tov, Megillah Tainus were Botlo, except for Hanukkah and Purim. That's what the Gemara says, except for Chanukah and Purim. So that's the Pashup Shat in Yerushalmi, that it says Why? Because Chanukah and Purim will never be bottled. The other Yom Tovim and Megillah Tanis will be bottled, but Lechora doesn't mean that Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot will be bottled. Pasuk Pshat, all the Yom Tovim will remain. Yom Tovim Deraisa will remain. Yom Tovim Derabbanan will cease to exist. Adarabba. The Pesukim speak about, the Nevi'im speak about additional Yom Tovim. In addition to the Yom Tovim Deraisa, there will be additional Yom Tovim, like Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaKamos Beis HaMikdash. The Pesukim and Novi speak about instituting new Yom Tovim they have to do that are in conjunction with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's what all the Yom Tovim and Megillah Tanis were all about. They were instituted every time something happened that had to do with Binyan Ba'isheni, or improving the Binyan Ba'isheni, or protecting the Ba'isheni, defending it from destruction at the hands of the enemy, so they made another Yom. So the Pesukim say, Lossi Lov, you're going to add on additional Yom Tovim. Then Pasuk Chav Gimel will be understanding, Yeva Bracha Vihinaya. No, you're asking Shetishchina and Ma'isadehma. Why all of a sudden, hey, how does Duchanin come in over here? What does Duchanin got to do? Duchanin is Shachris. What's the Duchanin all about? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara in the Sugya of Duchanin says, the Torah's Mibu quotes it, Mesoit Adap Lamuches, from this pasuk we derive that the Duchanin is like an Avoida. That just like you need a male coin to do Avoida, so, and a female Kohenis doesn't do Avoida, so you need a male coin to do the Duchanin. Women Kohenis don't do Duchanin, and Duchanin is considered a chelik of Avoida's HaKorbanis. You can only Duchan at the conclusion of HaKorbanis Korbanis Tziva. So it says, so the Gemara understands it as if he had first he came down from the Mizbeach, he finished doing the Chatos and the Oilo and the Shlomim, when he concluded the Hakrobus Karbanas HaTzibur, so then he did the Nesias Kapayim. So from this passage we derive that you can only do Duchanin at the conclusion of Hakrobus Karbanas Tzibur. That's the issue that the Mishnah Brura brings up. At the beginning of the second Chelik Mishnah Brura starts off with the dilemma of Messias Kapan. So he quotes Rav Yanki Femnin, writes in the Sefer Merak Tzio that Duchanin Bizman Azeh is only with the Rabbanon. A Duchanin Chutz L'Mikdush is only with the Rabbanon. Because the Gemara learns that from this Pasuk, and says the Lamed Ches, the Duchanin can only be done at the conclusion of HaKrovus Kabbanah Sibu. So obviously Duchanin Bizman Azeh is only with the Rabbanon. Then the Mishnah Brura writes, this is in a footnote on the bottom of the Shara Tzion. Go on the bottom of the page, an asterisk. And he quotes this goal. It's not in the Shara Tzion, and it's not in the Bir Aloch, and it's not in the Mishnah Brura. It's a footnote on the bottom of the page. He says that the comment of Rabbi Yanki Femdin in the Sefer Merkzir is not correct. It's against often the Gemaras, and often it's the phrase, it's wrong, the din is that Duchanin Bizman Azeh is their rice. And the question is, yeah, fine, it's their rice. He proved it from the Gemaras that it's their rice. But what does he do with the Pasuk? After all, the Gemara did learn out from this Pasuk that the Chiyuv to Duchanin is only minatarit at the conclusion of HaKrovus HaKorbanos Tzibur. So the Keren Ora has an Gemara in Nozi, the Keren Ora has a fascinating comment. He says that the concept that the Gemara has that when Davin, the Tfilah is Omed, is Mamakam HaKorbanos, is a concept there, Isaac, and it works in HaTorah. And when a chazan, when a private person davens, so that's considered as if he offered a korban yochid. When a chazan davens on behalf of the tzibur, that's tfilos ha-tzibur, it's considered as if he had offered a korban tzibur. But he says the fact that we daven, that's what the fact that the chazan recites chazoras hashas, a tfilos ha-tzibur, which is considered in skabu ba-kadosh baruch hu, as if it were a korban tzibur, that's what enables kohanim to duchen today min ha-Torah. And that's why when we duchen, we include a piyut in the middle of the bracha ritzei. We add on the sarav alach asira sena ko'oiloch a korban. Our prayer, the tefillas of the chazan, should be accepted ko'oiloch a korban, as if we had offered korbanos. So the tefillah that the yechidim daven is if it's a tefillah hayochid, and the tefillah that the chazan daven should be accepted as if the davening should be accepted as if it had been a korban tzibur. So the melech, since we're holding now by the conclusion of HaKrovus Korban Tzibur, so this enables the kohanim to do it. Rav Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha just added on that perhaps that's what the Loshon Ritzei means. Why the bracha begins with the word Ritzei? just that is on. When you dab in the weekday Shemana Esrei, so you say Shemaya Tfila, so you say Shema Koleinu, and then yes, Kakodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemaya Tfila, Kakodesh Baruch Hu should listen to our prayers, and should answer our prayers. And then you say, Rishay Hashem Kehem Amch Yisrael, this Tfilacha, Kakodesh Baruch Hu should answer our prayers. We just said that a line before. So why do you repeat the exact same thing? Two brachas, one after the other. He suggested that's the difference, that in Shema Koleinu, you're just asking Hakadosh Baruch Hu to answer your prayers. And this day, the request is that the prayer should be accepted as if you had brought a carbon. Because the term, the Baal HaTanya points out, the term Ritzui appears in Tanakh, Ruba of the cases, appears in Tanakh in conjunction with Hakrovus Karbonis. It always says, Ibn Irtzu Allah HaKarov. The term Ritzui hardly ever, perhaps it never appears, I'm not sure, you have to check. Baal HaTanya has this in the Geres HaTshuva at the end of his statement, that the term Ibn Irtzu Allah always appears in Tanakh in connection with Hakrovus Karbonis. So here, when we daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we say, "Ritzei Hashem Lakeinu Amchi Yisrael, this tefillah awesome." He should accept our tefillahs as if we had offered Karbonis. That's what we say. Shara v'alach asira seyde ki olu l'chakarbon. We repeat the same thing when we add on that piyut to stress it, and that's exactly why the tefillah that brach in the Shemoneh Esrei is called Birchas HaAvodah. That bracha converts min haTorah. It converts the tefillah into a korban. And that's what the Kevin Arv explains, that's what enables the Kohanim to do. And Achinami, the Kohanim can only do it at the conclusion of Hakrovus Karbanas Tikur. But that's called Hakrovus Karbanas Tikur. Stam, let's say a Kohen decides is a bar mitzvah, or a chasana, and the rabbi, performing the clergyman, the officiating clergyman, happens to be a Kohen. So he's going to say, and I want to bless the couple with the biblical blessing, he's going to spread his fingers out and so on. So where does it come in? He can't, even if he happens to be a Kohen, and even if he spreads his hands out, it's not the time, it's not the correct time to duchen. The only time you have duchening is at the conclusion of Hakrovus Karbanas Tikur. It's not some offhand, that's what Rav Soloveitchik that you carried on. Offhand, it doesn't make sense. What did Chachamim do over here? What did they stick in duchening in the middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei for? You don't introduce halal in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. What do you mix in one mitzvah and the other mitzvah? Why did the Taka shake lulav in the middle of a halal? So this is explained why. Because the nanuim of lulav are a kiyum and a halal. It's not some two unrelated mitzvahs that you're putting together. You don't blend together unrelated mitzvahs. If you stick another mitzvah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, that'll be a hafsik. So why do we duchen in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? So explain it's not. He's duchening another mitzvah in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. No! The conclusion of the Hakrovus Karbanas Tzibur, the Ritzei, is the bracha that converts the Tfilos HaTzibur. So the Karbanas Tzibur, that's the bracha that enables us to, that's considered the conclusion of the Karbanas Tzibur, that enables the Kohanim to duchen. That's why you have it then. It's not stam, you can't stam duchen in the middle of Hashiva Shaftei, in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. Why not? Baruch Aleinu Sashana Zas, we're asking for brachas, the Kohanim should say duchening over there. No, it's the wrong place. You can't just duchen wherever you want. You can't stick in duchening in the middle of Hallel. You can't stick in duchening before the davening, has to come dafke at that place.
Couldn't it be after Simshon?
Why shouldn't it be after Simshon? I don't know, that's a good question. Why do they have to dafke do it at that spot? The last bracha is called Birchas Kohan. Yes, the Sindhi. I don't know. There must be some reason why. I think the last bracha means the bracha Birchas Kohan. And bracha Samisol Basholem is Yosem Lecha Shalom. That's the concluding bracha of the Birchas Kohan Mishalom. So that really the Shemoneh Esrei is really over. Shachris Nim. All the Shemoneh Esrei should really theoretically be over at the Hatav Shemuchal Lachanor LaHoidoy. The Hoidoya. You have Shevach, then you have Bakosha, then you have Hoidoya. So the Hoidoya is finished, they moved him. You say, Tav Shim Cholachanor Lahoidoya. Perfect. So then what do you say Sim Shalom for? Sim Shalom means that you just finished the davening, and the last bracha is, after the whole davening is all over, you have the Kohanim do it. Whenever the Kohanim don't do it, so you still say the bracha. Sim Shalom. Shalom is the conclusion of the Birchas Kohan.
Isn't the Gemara talking about why you worried about the Shalom? The Gemara mentioned why the Kohanim is
I don't remember. I don't know. I have to take on. The Torah has the allusion here to some of the dinim of Avelos. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a special din to the. Moshe Aharon in Pasuk Vav. But Nadav Aliyu died, so Moshe Rabbeinu told Elazar v'Isamar and Aaron, Rashechem al tifro v'gdechem v'loy sifroim v'loy samus v'achol v'ayda yiktzay. So the Gemara is medayek, ha'acher shalapar v'shalapireim chayiv misa. V'loy samusu, the Gemara has a drasha. You should not observe avelus by ripping kriya. V'gdechem v'loy sifroim means you should not rip kriya. Rashechem al tifro pera. Gadol pera sarosh means to let your hair grow. The oval has to let its hair grow 30 days. Pera pera min ozir. An ozir, the minimum amount of naziris is 30 days. Normally, once in a while you have an ozir, it's bald. But normally you have an ozir that has hair on his head. So the Torah says, Gadol pera sarosh. So since the minimum is 30 days, so the Gemara learns out from Xerah Shavah that that's what it means over here. Rashechem al tifro, that they're not permitted to observe, a kongadol is not permitted to observe avelus. By letting his hair grow, he's not permitted to rip kriya. But loy samuso, don't worry, you will not die, you will not have nisu b'dei shamayim. Acher, anybody else who doesn't observe avelus for 30 days by letting his hair grow, or doesn't rip kriya, would be chayiv nisu b'dei shamayim. That's how the Gemara says. The Sam Rishonim took this seriously. They understood that it's a real, that's the pshat and the pasuk. The Gemara understood that it's a real din d'oraisa, that kriya is a din d'oraisa. And observing Avela Shloshim for 30 days with respect to haircuts to the Dinde Reis. The Rosh quotes this from the Ravid and he disagrees. He says, what do you mean? The real Rosh is more the Ravid. That's not what it means. The Pasuk means a different thing. If you'll do Avodah, if a Kohen does Avodah, Kruei Rosh or Kruei Godim, then it's Chaim Yisvid Eshamay. That's the Pshat in the Pasuk. But it doesn't Kruei Rosh or Kruei Godim. It's not the v'loy samusa doesn't mean you don't have to worry, you won't be chayiv nisu b'dei shamayim, but if an acher, if another person other than the Kohen Gadol will not observe avelus, will not rip kriya, he will be chayiv nisu b'dei shamayim for not fulfilling the kriya, for not fulfilling the din of shloshim. So what are you talking about? Shloshim is only the rabbanon, even shiva the pashtus is that shiva is only the rabbanon. The reason machloim is whether avelus yom rishon is the raisa the rabbanon, the Rambam and the Rif and the Goinim and the Mechaber paskins like that. The Sfarim follow that stuff. That Avelus Yom Rishon is the right. And the Ramot paskins like the Balei HaTeisa, the Rol Avelus, like the Rosh, Balei HaTeisa, the Rol Avelus only the Rabbanon. But Shloshim is certainly only the Rabbanon. The Rosh is Masik, that's one of the first Roshes in the third Perek in Moed Kotan, Perek Ela Megachan, has all the Dinam of Avelus in it. So quotes this machlokes. The Pasha Pshat, that's the way we usually say. The Pasha Pshat, we assume that the Kriya is only the Rabbanah. The Chi of Kriya is only the Rabbanah. How can it be a Chi of Kriya, the Rabbanah, isn't it Bal Tashlis? A third is a Dina Bal Tashlis. You're not allowed to read to the God. Unless you will accept those Shittas, Bal Tashlis is only their Isa if you have a fruit-bearing tree. That's the original Makar in the Chumash. The Gemara says in the end of Bava Kamma that if you rip the godin, if you rip clothing, it's Bal Tashchis. So some say that it's only Bal Tashchis to the Rabbanim. So Shaila, the Rambam writes only the dinim of Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis is it, and the Dach Olam Garzim, Kinimena Sechol, etc. So the Rambam says if you rip the godin, you smash Kalim, so you're right on Bal Tashchis, but you're not like it. So the Nois, the Kalim and the Rambam have a machlokes. What does that mean, that you're right and you're not like it? Does it mean that the whole Issa is only the Rabbanim? That the real Issa derais only applies to a fruit-bearing tree? Or does it mean no, that the Pshut Hashem Mikvah, the Torah Shem Bichzah Bal Tashchis is the only thing you get Malkus on, that's a fruit-bearing tree. The others are also their eyes, but it's only Torah Shem Bal Peh, so that doesn't warrant Malkus, because it's not Duni the Lav HaSina. You only get Malkus if you violate a Naver, which is similar to Losachsam Shor Bedisha. If one will say that the whole Easter of ripping Begodim is only Bal Tashchis from the Rabbanon, so then you can say, Hey Momer, Behe Momro. The Chachamim require that we should rip Begodim if a relative dies. And there's no Issa Bal Tashchis, because all Bal Tashchis to begin with was only the Rabbanah. But if you assume the more Pasha Pshat than the Rambam, that he didn't mean to say that it's only an Issa the Rabbanah, he meant it's an Issa the Raisa, they ain't like it. You have a lot of times things like that. An Issa the Raisa, they ain't like it. So if it's really an Issa the Raisa, so how can a Chachamim require of us a Chiv that you have to rip Kriya? It's not a Teretz, it's not a Kash. Kasha. There's no din of Bal Tashchis whenever you're doing something with Tzarach and the other. So if the Chachamim required that you should rip Kriya, that's with Tzarach and the other. How do you eat the food? So Bal Tashchis on the food, if you eat the food, the answer is Tzarach and the other. And how much do you need if a guy eats extra, he eats ice cream? So how Bal Tashchis? The answer is no. He wants to eat dessert also, and he wants to have five desserts, and he wants to have five pieces of cake. So that's not called up Bal Tashchis on the food. There's more talking about Bal Tashchis on his body, that he ruins his health. Bal Tashchis on his body, if he overeats. But you don't say it's Bal Tashchis on the food. It's not Bal Tashchis on the food. Whatever it's done, it's all on the other. So that's not a violation of Bal Tashchis. Here also, if the Chachamim want to second it, you have to rip Kriya under certain circumstances, so that's not called an Isa Bal Tashkent, that's Pashkent. When you have a Sufik Kriya, let's say there's a Sufik if you have to rip Kriya or not, so then the Pesachei Tshuva says that you go Lekula and you don't rip Kriya for two reasons. He says, number one, the whole din of Kriya is only with the Rabbanim, so he says, Sveika the Rabbanim Lekula. Then he says, number two, it's the Chasafik Isa Bal Tashkent. Yeah, when you have a Vada Chiyuv Kriya, so then it's Lutzarach Mani Adam. But if you have a Sufik, so a Sufik, on the one hand, you have an Isa Bal Tashkent. So in order to be Mata an Isa Bal Tashkent, you have to know for sure if there's a real Tzorach, if there's no real Tzorach. So what's the Hetzer to do with in the first place?
What's
the Sufik? Maybe there's a Sufik, somebody dies, and I'm not sure if he's really a relative of mine or not. A brother, I'm not sure if he's really my brother, he's not my brother. The person is not Hetzer Pinchas, he's not sure. His mother remarried. Mother remarried within the 3 months of Hakonah, and then she had a child from the second husband, and we don't know whether that child was taken from the second husband or from the first husband. We have a case with the Sufik relatives, so the person will say, whenever there's a Sufik, you don't have to. Even though we assume the whole Chi of Kriya is only with the Rabbanon, but there is such an institution of Pidin, the Halacha recognizes the promotion. But again, to the Din of Kruy Begodim. So the Rambam quotes these Dinim. If a Kohen does avoid a Kruy Begodim, it's Chai Nisim De Shammai. Or if a Kohen does avoid a Kruy Rosh, it's Chai Nisim De Shammai. So what do you mean he does avoid a Kruy Begodim? It means he does avoid a Kruy Begodim, Kederach Shikorim Al Amesim. Not some that the clothing of the Digde Kuna are torn, they're worn out and they're torn from use. No, it means if the Kruid Godim, Keder Shikorim Alameisim, then it's called Kruid Godim. So there is such a Chav Hashem Al Pidin. Allah recognizes that that's a separate Kriyah. Kriyah Alameis is a separate Kriyah. It would appear perhaps that there's a Kiyum Deraisa also. There's Takanas coming out, a lot of things like that. With the Rabbanon, they just extended the dinam deraisa, they make shiva and shloshim yudos kodesh menatar, that is only yamrishim. Even according to the Ramo, that there's no niyu gavelus at all menatar, you're not mechliv at all, but it sounds in the Torah that there is such an institution. Roshechem al tifro, that they should not observe avelus. So there is such a kiyum deraisa of niyu gavelus. It's a kiyum of kovar abrim. Mora says in Avelus, it's based on Kavod Abriya, Kavod Achai and Kavod Amesim. It's all discussion. Kavod Abriya has two parts to it, it's Kavod Achai and Kavod Amesim. So in the everyday Hilchos Avelus, there's a discussion. There are more, and the Rebbe Kiveg and the Pesach Shuvah have a discussion whether Nihu Gavelus, Shiva and Shloshim is Kavod Amesim or Kavod Achai. But Akopanim, it belongs under that category of Kavod Abriya. It's that mitzvah of Kavod Abriya. Umipesach ohel moed lo seitzu pentamusu kishem in mishchat Hashem aleichem vayasu kidvan Moshe. What kind of a din is this? Umipesach ohel moed lo seitzu pentamusu. The Rambam quotes this in the mitzvah. In the minyan ha-mitzvahs, mitzvahs lo yisef ve-kuf samachet. Shehizahir ha-kohanim ilotis me-ha-migdosh b'shas ha-roidah, v'hu ha-morah yisalah. That's what the Rabbani Shalom said. This pasuk, when Pesach ha-moy lo yisetsu, a kohen is forbidden to leave in the middle of an avodah. Let's say the kohen is doing an avodah. He's not allowed to leave the Beis ha-migdosh in the middle of that avodah. Pesach ha-moy lo yisetsu, shivat yomim. It's considered, even though they weren't doing any avodah, the Shivat Yimei Amimuim was considered, in the whole time was considered as if they were doing, all of them, all of Bnei Aharon, as if they were doing the Avodah. And a Kohen is forbidden to leave in the middle of his Avodah. Even if it has nothing to do with Avodah. Nothing to do with Avodah. A separate distinction. All year long. The Ramban doesn't agree with this Rambam, but that's because the Rambam quotes a Sifro like that. That there's such a thing. Pasuk describes the way they burnt the Sir HaChatos. The Sir HaChatos, the Rosh, the Rash, Moshe, the Hinei, the Rosh. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, which Sir HaChatos was it? This was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This was the Stoyer Musafi Shloshi Siri Chatos. There were three. There was the Sir Chatos Asheli Aharon, then there was the Sir Chatos Asheli Om, then there was the Stoyer Rosh Chodesh. Then there was the Stoyer Nachshon also. There was the Stoyer Nachshon, the first of the Nisim brought. A whole bunch of Chatos. Which one was this? The Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this was the Sir Rosh Chodesh. And why was the Taka burnt? The Rashi quotes different opinions from the Gemara in Zrochim Daf Kuf, the end of Zrochim. So the Gemara, Rashi and Chumash quote the different interpretations. The Rashi quotes one of the versions that the Gemara gives, that Aaron tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yotet, "Hein hayom ekrivu chatos mitzaylosim lufnei Hashem, but tikrena osiko eile." His son just died. Yachalti chatos hayom, ha'ita b'enei Hashem. He's an einen. True, the din is that if Hengadol can be makriv einen, Hengadol is different from all the other Kohanim, that is makriv einen. The other Kohanim are not permitted to do Avodah when they're in the state of Aninus. If they bring a Korban, they're Aninus, and the Mishnah says that it's possible. A Balmum does Avodah, it's possible. Shlomo Chutzidayim Rag Lion. So if a Kohen brings a Korban from the state of Aninus, all the Korban are possible. But over here, Aaron says, Hein Hayom Ekrivu, did my children bring? And he crafty, I brought the Korban, so there's no problem of Aninus. I can't go to his Makrovainim. But it's Ein Oichalainim, it's not permitted to eat in the state of Aninus. I'm not allowed to eat in a state of aninus. I, but Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded explicitly the yichlua matzah eitzel ha-mizbeah. He was told explicitly at Tziva that they should eat the matzah. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, im shamata b'kot shei shor, ein lecha lahokil b'kot shei doiret. This was the Haruah Shor. The Haruah Shor that was told to Bnei Aharon that they should eat they should eat the korbanos despite the fact that they were einanim. That was only given on the kotche shor. There were different korbanos that were brought today. The soy rosh chodesh is a regular soy rosh chodesh that you bring on every rosh chodesh. You bring the musafim. You bring 11 musafim. You bring 10 a oila and one is a chatos. Every yontes, a lot of yontes is like that. You bring 11 musafim, 10 a oila, and one is a chatos. So that's a regular din l'daros. Then they had a hayru ashor that they had to bring the chatas nachshon, they had to bring the chatas of aharon, they had to bring the chatas of the tzibur. These were all hayru ashor. So aharon tainis from shamata b'kot shei shor ein l'chol l'hakol b'kot shei daros. We have a plow. The daros mishor lo yalfino kol haterakula. You have a right to learn that midin echad l'chaver. You learn that one din from the other because we assume kol haterakula, all the dinim have to fit into one system. All the dinim have to fit into one pattern. It all makes up one mosaic. That's the whole yisoid of all the midah shatar and the drashas ban, that all the dinim fit into one pattern, into one system. But if you have a din that's only a harasha, obviously it doesn't fit into the system. So that's what the Gemara says. You cannot learn out Doris Mishola Yafina. How can you learn out a din l'doris from a din l'shah? There was a harasha that on the korbanas that were brought l'shah, on the harasha the korbanas they should eat it despite the fact that they were einin. It doesn't say that. That should apply to the kachin doris. How can you apply that? That's not part of the system of kolot harukula that you can learn out dover echad nechaveru. Yidin echad nechaveru. That's what you say. Doris Mishola Yafina. Tosfos points out there are some Gemaras where the Gemara talks about Doris Mishola, yes, Yafina. Shver Gemara. The Pashtus is like this cloud. You have to understand why there are some exceptions to the rule, but the Gemara sometimes says yes, the Doris Mishola, Yafina. But the Pashtus is the Doris Mishola, Yafina. We understand why, because the Hirosho doesn't fit in with the rest of the system of Kol HaTarukul. And the Torah gives all of the klalim. How do you determine whether any given animal is kosher or not kosher? So the halacha says you have to have malagir and mafis karma. And the Torah singles out four animals that are not kosher because they only have one sin and they don't have the other sin. So it says it's a gomel, it's a pasuk dalet, it's a shofan and pasuk hay, it's a nevis and pasuk vav, it's a chazir and pasuk zayin. The Gemara in Megillah tells a strange story that when the 71 Zekanim were 72 Zekanim were invited by Talmai HaMelech, and he sat them all in 72 different rooms, and he insisted that they should translate the Chumash into Greek for him. So they all made a translation, came up with the Targum HaShivim, the Septuagint, and they all were mechaveh that in certain places they didn't give a literal translation. They translated some of the words differently. So this is one of the words that they didn't translate literally, Arnevis. Because Mrs. Talmai, the queen, her name happened to be Arnevis. So they were afraid that if they're going to translate, they're going to write Arnevis, so he's going to think that they're making fun of his Rebbe, and making fun of his wife. So the Nefoshim don't understand. Hechetesim, why? And all 72 Canaan did the same thing. They all changed it. It all occurred to them that they better change it. So they wrote a different word. Instead of writing Arnevis, they wrote the four-legged animal. They gave a description of Arnevis. They weren't Megalopanim of Dara Shalot Halo, but they wanted to avoid using the word Arnevis. Why did they think that he's gonna think that they're making fun of him? Very strange. So some of the recent Gedolim in the last century suggested, because there's something strange over here, these four animals that are singled out, three out of the four are written Beloshem Zohar. They all have male and female. It says you're not allowed to eat gomel. A gomel has a Mrs. Gomel, has a gemalo. Then it has shofan, has a, how do you say shofan? Every animal has chazir, has a chazira. So how come on three out of the four animals they write the zohar, and who are the nami in the keva? And by the anevis it writes in the keva, and who are the nami was zohar? Punkt. So they were afraid that Talmai HaMelech may notice this. We never pay attention, we never notice it. But they were afraid that he may notice it. How come three out of the four they wrote the male, and who are the nami? And over here all of a sudden they wrote the female. So they were afraid that he may think that they wrote, that they, the 70 rabbis, wrote the female Arnevis to make fun of his wife, whose name was Mrs. Arnevis. So that's what they translated it, not literally. They gave a literal translation, but they didn't mention the word Arnevis. They didn't write the female. They wrote the title. So Shaila, what the Arnevis is, we're not exactly sure what these animals are, but whatever they are, they were worried about that. Mibisaram loisachelu, we're forbidden to eat the non-kosher animals. Uvin, losi go. And we're not permitted to touch the dead animal, because when it dies a natural death, it's in time. Even if he shechted, it'll also be in time. Shechita is not cow. And a behemoth may, if he shechted an elephant or a horse or a donkey, shechita is not cow. Not only not cow to make it kosher, it's a non-kosher animal, it's not even cow to be in the time of day available. If he didn't, there's no shechita at all. So binivlosim lo sigo means it's always going to be an avela. Even if he gave it a shkita, it's always going to be an avela. So binivlosim lo sigo. So Rashi here quotes from the Froh. How can that be? Madas tumis hameis is mochomen and tumis mevela. Meis odom is matame b'magam amas of the ohel. And the Torah only forbids Kohanim from coming in contact with a meis. Kohanim is horim, the ein Yisroel is horim. So isn't it a kal v'chomer meyato? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? matu misameitach hamur lo hizirbo ela kohanim tumas nevei lo kala lo kol shekein. How can the Torah say binur v'los v'los igot, speaking to everybody? It's a kol shekein that what? He never finishes the sentence. It's a kol shekein that only applies to kohanim. Only kohanim are forbidden to come in contact with a nevela. And Yisrael are permitted to, but taki kohanim are forbidden to. Some rabbi called me up. He says in his school they have a policy that they don't allow high school. When they have biology there and they all cut up a dead rat, what do they cut up? They dissect the rat. So the kohanim are exempt from dissecting the rat because they're not allowed to be in the Talmud of the Mace. It's an open Rashi on Chumash. That's how some understood this. It's a Chazal, it's a Loshan. Rashi quoting from the Loshan on the Sifra on the Loshan of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, no, bin is Loshan Vasigor refers to Beregel. Then Ashol Shugom, Chai Vodam Atar Atma Beregel. In order to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be Tor. And Ashol Shugom, Mirokol Kufa, you have to enter the Yazor. You have to walk into the Yazor and bring an oil as Riyah. So if you're going to be Tor, you can't enter the Yazor. And others say the Chai Vodam Tarat Mubregel is not only Bizman Shabbat to make the Shayakim on the Shalosh Golem to enable you to enter the Azara, it perhaps even applies to Bizman Azad, even applies to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. It's a different thing, has nothing to do with that. The Shakatari has a whole Shiva where he says it doesn't apply to Bizman Azad. If you look in the Ramam only quotes it, and Chai Vodam Tarat Mubregel is not quoted in Hilchas Yontif, and the Ramam is quoted in Hilchas Kotshin there by the Korbanot. To enable the person to enter the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Erev Sriya, it has to be told, but the man is there, the whole thing doesn't apply. I dig him, the whole thing doesn't apply. Chayavan Tarat Mabregel doesn't apply. It's a machloi. Yeah, and others disagree. The Rosh at the end of Yuma writes that he thought that that's where Absadi going then. Rabbeinu Sadi going says that when people go to Nikvan, Erev Yom Kippur, they should say the Bracha Shekinashonu B'mitzotim Yisirano Ala Tfilah. So the Rosh says, why? Because Chayavan Tarat Mabregel. So why is it only on Yom Kippur here? Why doesn't he say the same thing on Rosh Hashanah, and why not the same thing on Shal Shavuot? But the Rosh seems to have understood the Rav Sadi Gaon as if there's a din of Chai Varam Tarat from Regel B'Manazan all the Yom Kippur. So that's the beginning of the whole discussion. Others say that that's not what he meant. He didn't base it on Chai. He would also agree with the Shagat Tarat Chai Varam Tarat from Regel only applies to B'Zman HaMikdosh and doesn't apply to B'Zman HaZer at all, and only applies in order that it should be Tohar to enable him to enter the Yazarim. And the Rav Sadi Gaon meant a different thing, that there's a mitzvah of Nei Hashem to Torah. There's a separate mitzvah that in connection with Yom HaKippurim, that everybody should be Torah for Yom HaKippurim. So whereas everybody else interprets that pasuk Lifnei Hashem to Torah in a metaphoric sense, amalitza means you should purify your soul, you should purify your heart, you should be chazed b'tshuva on Yom Kippur, that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That there's a mitzvah to do tshuva all year long, there's an added mitzvah to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Special mitzvah to do tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah counted as two different mitzvahs in the Shaar Tshuva. Even if you count it as one mitzvah, that's the Pashup Shadlef, Nei Hashem Tetoru, that you should purify yourselves by doing Shuvah and Kippur. So the Rav Sadi Gaon understood it, that's more down to earth. Nei Hashem Tetoru, everyone has to go to Mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. They have to be mitar their bodies before Yom Kippur. So that's a debate whether Rav Sadi Gaon ever meant to say Rav Shadlef. So that's a Shadlef exactly how far do you go. If it involves the most ago, refers to Regel, Chai Vodam Tarat Mabaregel, does it only apply to the Sholosh Regolim, only B'zman HaMikdash, or does it even apply to B'zman HaZeh, and even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? It's not restricted only to the Shalosh Regolim. But that's another topic. Well, what's the nature of the Din of Chai Vodam Tarat Mabaregel? But what does Rashi mean? It's not Rashi's fault. What does the Gemara mean? What does Taras Kana mean when it says, Ma Tumas HaMeitach HaMura Mehizabrela Kohanim Tumas Mevei Lakal Oloi Kol Shekein Shewat? She only Kohanim Amuzer, but Kohanim Taka Amuzer. This is not true. The Kohanim are not Muzer. Kohanim are only Muzer. The Kohanim only forbidden to be Mitamele Mason. You sometimes have a Tumas Mase, that's not an Atzmashal Mase. Called Tumas Shein Anoz and Magal Oich Aleo. And a Kohanim Muzer Aleo. Mikra Adin, we talk to him like that. Faces from the beginning of Tubas. Quote Machlekes the Rabbeinu Tam and the other Balei HaTesis. Whether we pass him like that, Bryson. It is a Bryson, Masechet Smochay, Masechet Smochay, Bryson, Hilchot Avelos. Where it says that a coin has all the dinim of Tumas Kohanim. Like in Yeruday, at the end of Yeruday, has all the dinim of Tumas Kohanim. So it has the din in the Masechet Mochas that a coin is only prohibited to be metami to such a mace that if a nozir would have been, a nozir is not allowed to be metami to mason, if the nozir is metami to such a mace, it would have to be megalea, a yamim harshan yitlu, and have to start in Zivas all over again. But the Mishnah nozir lists off certain examples of Tumas mace which are not considered atmoshal mace. It's not considered as actually having come in contact with the mace, even though you really did become tamim in HaTorah. And in those cases, the nozer is not the galeach halach, it doesn't require of him that he has to start all over from the beginning. So many Rishonim Paskin, that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, Mikra Adin. And Rishonim Paskin, like that Brisa, Maseches Mochas, and on such a tumor, the Kohen is not prohibited to be Metamit. So he's not prohibited to be Metamit to Shah Tumas Ameis, he's certainly not prohibited to be Metamit to until Asheret. The Pasha Pshat in this, I remember many years ago, Rav Shulchan Aruch told us that if he met Professor Shaul Lieberman, Shaul Lieberman was a relative of his. Shaul Lieberman married the daughter of Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Rav Meir Berlin was the son of the Nitziv. It was like a great uncle or something. Rav Meir Bar Ilan is a great uncle of them. So Shaul Lieberman once met Rav Soloveitchik at a bris in New York, and he mentioned to him that he came upon this Tshuvas HaGoyim where it says that Kohanim are prohibited to be Metamei to Tumas Nevela. The Tumah Sheret. What do you say to that? Rav Soloveitchik told us in Shir, he didn't get those guys. He said, so that guy, who wrote that Shuva? Was an Amor? It was a big deal. I remember the lesson that he said, my grandfather didn't have learned better than most of the Goyim. The Goyim were the fundraisers of the Yeshiva, they were Shalachim. They had to raise money for the Yeshivas involved. Doesn't mean that they were the big Talmidei Chacham. Let's say you have an institution that has a president. The name of the Yeshiva used to be Goyim Yankas. He was called Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankas. Rosh Yeshiva means the fundraiser. Rosh Yeshiva's Goyim Yankas. It doesn't mean that he's the poetic. It doesn't mean that he says the shiur. It means that he raises the money for the yeshiva. So just because you have the famous goyim, so Rabbi Goyner, Sadi Goyner, Rav Natronoi Goyner, a couple of famous goyim that we know. The others are not so famous on how to paint it, so who cares what they say? So there's a tshuvas HaGoyim that a kohen is prohibited to be mitami to a nevela and to a sheret and so on. Rabbi Yerucham Perla, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot Rav Sadi Goyim, collects all of those goyim on this sin. All of those gone would say like that, that a kohen is prohibited to be metame to a tumah sheret. But this rabbi who called me on the phone with this high school, he was a big fan of Rav Soloveitchik. He was a big chassid of the Rav. So I told him that Rav Soloveitchik said that it's mutter. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik says mutter is mutter. Permissible for kohen to be metame to a tumah sheret. He says, Din Shulchan Aruch. What are we talking about? It's not shy. It may have at one time been a machlokes hagadah. It may have been those who understood this gemara. It's not a question of Rashi. Rashi clearly didn't hold like that. There have been those who understood this rice in Taras Kohanim as saying, "Matumas Amesa Chamor leHizibor al Kohanim, Tumas Nevela Kalo leKoshkin." That only Hizibor al Kohanim. That's how you finish it. There have been some God who understood, but for sure we don't pass like that. There are no two ways about that. When the Pesukim lists off the non-kosher fish, in order to be a kosher fish, you have to have snapper the kaskesis. If you don't have both, then it's not kosher. So it says shekatzulachem. It says a few times shekatzulachem by the non-kosher birds and so on. So the Gemara in the second Perek in Sochim has a bit of a discussion that revolves about a Mishnah in Shviyas. The Mishnah in Shviyas speaks about hunters who go hunting, and they're interested in catching wild animals in order to shech them and then to eat them. And then they catch a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says a non-kosher animal is mutter b'hanoah. It's also b'achila, but it's mutter b'hanoah. So you can sell it. If we go hunting for elephants and no one is interested in eating elephant's meat, they're just looking for an elephant for a zoo. A zoo somewhere needs an elephant. Or you're looking to you're hunting for horse. Let's say there are wild horses running in the jungle. So you're hunting for a horse in order to have a horse to ride on. So that, the Rambam says, that's not an issa schoira, the macholat asturus. There is an issa to do business with macholat asturus, with non-kosher animals. So the Rambam writes, there's a tesis, and Balakam says not so, in the end of Maruga. Tesis says, b'feirish not so. But we don't pass like that tesis. Akhrenim says, the Pela tesis. We pass like the Rambam Shulchan, that the only time there's a prohibition to be in the non-kosher food business is if you sell non-kosher food for eating purposes. Let's say I sell, I buy pig skins in order to make footballs or in order to make gloves out of it, make pocketbooks or something. So that's not for business. If my interest in dealing with pigs, let's say I buy pigs, I buy geschachten, I buy dead pigs in order to make leatherware out of it. So that Rambam says in the Shulchan Aruch quotes that Rambam that that's permissible. The only time it's forbidden is if you buy bacon to sell it. Okay, I open a non-kosher restaurant in the middle of Harlem. If I open a non-kosher restaurant where there are Jews around, so that's the same thing as it's a mishloach. I may sell non-kosher food for the Jews, that's an issa. But if I sell for non-Jews, so what's the lechliva l'siti mishum? It's muta bano. I'm not selling basa b'chola. Basa b'chola, but also bano. But b'chola tassur is on muta bano. So the Gemara quotes, the Gemara in the second paragraph and seven quotes on Mishnah Shviyiz. But although Taka the din is that it's muta bano, the hem itzmei is muta bano, but it's also b'schoyro. The din is it's a business to deal in business in non-kosher food. So the Mishnah discusses, but what happens if a fellow went hunting and he set out traps in order to catch wild animals, deer, other wild animals that are kosher, and then a non-kosher animal fell in, and the guy is interested in buying it. He says that he's not allowed to deal in business. The Gemara says no. The Mishnah says no. To be in that business permanently, that's for this, to do a decree. But if the damnu lo, let's say his father has a whole pig farm. His father raises pigs in order to sell pork, in order that the goyim should eat bacon. They should have bacon to eat. Or his father has a non-kosher butcher store, and the father dies, and the son yarshins it. So you're going to say it's also about no. The son is not allowed to sell it and get money. No, he is, but it's mutabano. Not osmano, it's mutabano. But he has to get rid of the business as fast as he can. He's not allowed to remain in the business. Because that's the kriyas, it's forbidden to be in the non-kosher food business. The Mishnah learned that after the pasuk sheket hu lachem. Sheket hu lachem, that you're not allowed to do schar with. So this is a big dispute in the pasukim. Is this a real isa deraisa, or is this only an isa derabbanan? But some parts came, the Pesach Shuvah has this, because throughout all the generations, the Nochrim used to make zeiros against the Jews, made life kimat impossible to live. They didn't allow the Jews to go into this business, that business, the other business, so there were hardly any businesses left available. So one of the few businesses was that they would do Schar b'macholot asu. So Anisa deraisa, so the din is you're not allowed to do it, unless it's mamish takonis nefashim, or is it only Anisa derabbanan, and you can maybe look for some kuluk, look for some dreila. But many poskim hold that it's only an isa derabbanan because they're not convinced. On the level of their aisha, they can't see that it should make a difference between the zamnu and to be in the business decrees. And they can't see how this fits into the pasuk sheket hu lachem. What do you see from the word sheket hu lachem? Bahava yasi, hey, what do you see in the word? The mashmoy is that it's also bischer. And many poskim, I think, it's a shayla which way the rova poskim hold. The rova poskim hold that the rova poskim hold that it's the rova achrenim hold that the rova rishonim hold that it's only the rabbanim. That's pashtus. So the taz is also involved. There's a long taz in the beginning of the second chelik yerodei that he asks, but the Rambam is on the kineged. The Rambam writes the fair. How can they sweep away a Rambam? The Rambam, when he formulates this prohibition, so he says, you're not permitted to do skarab amacholos asuras if it's for the purpose of eating. I'm selling pork. I'm selling bacon to the non-Jews to eat. If I'm selling, let's say if I hunt foxes in order to get the fur, so I'm not interested in the meat. Then the Chochmas Adam has a kula. So if you hunt foxes in order to get the fur, and that, so what do you have to throw out the meat? So no, once you have the meat, that's called the damnu. They think that you're even allowed to sell the meat to the non-Jews in order that they should eat it. And that's on a permanent basis. Every day you're going to hunt foxes, you can get a fox to make another fur coat years ago. Now they don't do it anymore. Years ago, there used to be a big chashidus. If the husband really was rich and he wants to show how much he loves his wife, he would buy his wife a fur coat made from fox or made from whatever, mink or whatever. It's an expensive fur. Now they don't do it anymore because they're killing out all these animals. So the shayla was in the days of the Chacham Sodom when they hunt these minks and these foxes and these furry animals. Said, what is it? So fine, that's muta because that's for other purposes, not for food purposes. Then what do they do with the flesh? This is the flesh, you're not really interested in the flesh. That's called the damnu. So you can even sell the flesh. You can even do that to the flesh. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes all this from the Rambam, that there's an isa schar b'macholos asuras, only if the kviyas is also the damnu is mutter. And then it says that it's only for the whole isa only applies if your main interest is as food, if you're selling it as leather shoes, or you're selling it for the fur and so on, that's mutter. And then the Rambam says also there's another exception to the rule that chelev he may do schar with. That pelah the ketesis in the end of merubah. Ketesis has two things that they all ask. Shlomo Levilna asks the two things are pelah. One thing says about being megadol chazerim, even if you're megadol the chazerim for non-eating purposes, this is schar b'macholos asur. So they all ask that's against the Rambam the Yerushalmi. The Rambam says the Yerushalmi that it's only asur to do schar b'macholos asur is. If the result, the whole tachlis of the macholos asuris is for eating purposes, not if it's for leather purposes. So that's one line in Tosfos said Shver. Then the other line in that Tosfos is the end of Merubah, Baba Kam, the end of Perek Merubah Shver. Tosfos gives a mashal that you're not permitted to do Shver by Macholos Asur. You give a mashal from a chaylev. So the Rambam writes the Farish, chaylev is the chamuta to do Shver. It says a pasuk in Chumash. Last week said, chaylev the way la chaylev shef yosel chom alocha, v'ocha lo tachlu, and the parasha stops. So it says the Farish, ye yosel lachom alocha, you can do whatever you want with it. It says you can be in a chaylev business. You can go sell chaylev. If a butcher shechts the heinous and then he has chaylev, of course chaylev is mutabana, of course he can sell it. But the question is, can I be in the chaylev business? I'm going to go from butcher shop to butcher shop to butcher shop, buy up all the chaylev in order to put the chaylev in soap. But the expensive soap has chaylev in it. So is there anything wrong with that? The butcher is zicha muta, that's nizamlu, as far as he's concerned. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to buy up all the chaylev. That's not nizamlu. That's my whole business is only chaylev. So the Rambam quoted by the Shulchan Aruch writes the Ferish is muta, the pasuk in the Chumash. It says, Yiyata lecha malacha. Yiyata lo sachlu. It says it's muta to do any sphere you want. But that's what they ask. And that Taisus, how can Taisus write in the end of Perek Merubah that that's prohibited? The Ferish is pasuk in the Chumash that it's muta. See, the Taz points out, in this debate that the pasuk can have, whether the prohibition of Shchor b'macholos asuris is an Issa deraita, an Issa derabbanan, wouldn't it appear from this Rambam that it's an Issa deraita?
When we are trying to organize various units, presently Tim Hashem for Shloshim, there's a list of adapted shafts broken down into units of 4 blocks. So if people could sign up, each could be called on, and according to the time you have available, these sometimes take more than you feel you have time for. It would be helpful, just even in terms of the time it takes to sign up, if people would sign up Kateva. You know, you don't have to go pushing around and fishing around.
Is bothered with this kasha. How can many achrayim assume? How can many person assume that the whole nisus chora b'macholos asuris is only a nisus derabbanan? If the Rambam writes that we have this pasuk in Chumash in connection with chaylev, where it says yeyasa l'chol malacha, and the pasuk comes to say that chaylev is muta b'schora, you're permitted to do schora with chaylev, it's an exception to the rule of chor b'macholos asuris. If the whole Issa of Shchor b'macholos asuris is only an Issa derabbanan, what does Rambam mean? He Rambam writes it like you have an Issa derais and you have a pasuk in the Chumash that says this is a Yetzim and Aklam. If the whole Issa is only an Issa derabbanan, what does he write that's a Yetzim and Aklam? When I heard there never was such a Klam. So from the simple reading of that, Rambam the Taz time is, wouldn't it appear as if the Rambam is saying b'feirish that the Issa of Shchor b'macholos asuris constitutes an Issa derais? That's the Taz's time. So the Taz writes an answer in the beginning of the second Chelet Yerodeh. The Taz has an answer, and he has it in other places as well. He has it in the beginning of Chesh Mishpat, and he has it in the end of Arachayim. He has it in other areas as well. He writes that perhaps the Rambam means to say the following, that the Chachamim are authorized to introduce all kinds of Gzeres to the Rabbanim. They can introduce, they have the right, Mishmartim es Mishmarti, Asum Mishmaris and Mishmartim, they have a right to make Chumash and Gzeres from the Rabbanim. But perhaps, because in the Salamach and the Bach, perhaps you have no right with the Rabbanon to institute a Gzera which is Keneged Abba HaMafurish Bater. If it says black and white in the Chumash that something is Mutter, so then the Chacham have no right to make the Gzera against it. So that's perhaps what the Rambam came to explain over here. True, perhaps the Rambam meant to say the Yisr of Tzor B'macholot Asur is only an Yisr de Rabbanon. And as an Issa de Rabbanan, they really have the right to make the Yisr on everything, including Chaylev. Either Pasuk in Chumash says that Chaylev is Muta Bahano, Yasul Hamlach, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, that's Minat Torah. But with the Rabbanan and later generations, way after Matan Torah, when the Chachamim decided to prohibit Torah b'macholos asuris, if they wanted to, perhaps they would have made the Gzeirah on Chaylev as well. But the Rambam writes they didn't because they have a Mefurish Pasuk. They cannot make a Gzeirah, they have no right to make a Gzeirah against the Dabar HaMefurish Pater. Perhaps that's the Pshat, that's what the Taz suggests. The name of the Bach. Perhaps that's the Pshat in the Rambam that he writes that Chaylev is the exception to the rule that you are permitted to do Skar. This is a famous kasha that Achrayim discussed. How can the Rabbeinu Gershom have made a gzeir that you're not allowed to have two wives? Because it says the favorish in the Turkey, so you only have two noshim. So how can you make a gzeir? How can you make a gzeir if the Rabbanu can make a davar mafurish b'tar? No, some of that's not such a difficult kasha because the Rabbeinu Gershom is gzeir. The Chemda Rabbeinu Gershom was only instituted till the Seifel Elis, till the year 5000. It ended already. So today, the Ramah writes that we still observe this prohibition against marrying two wives. We observe it today as a minig. Today is not a cheirem. The Rabbeinu Gershom didn't make a din l'zeiros like this. He only made as a hayrasha for a few years. To make a real zeir the Rabbanim. The sum of the rationale behind this taz probably is, I imagine the rationale behind the taz probably is, that all of the din of the Rabbanim, through the obligation to observe them, is only the Rabbanim, but once they institute the din of the Rabbanim, then the sum becomes part of the Torah. Some of it comes part of the body of Torah Shabbat Minha Torah. So was very fond of this idea. He used to give shiur for many years, for 11 years he gave shiur for the Balabat and the Bracha, and for many years he gave shiur in the Gila. So he once saying in this shiur, he means to say that Minha Torah, this is all Bittul Torah. And something to the Rabban that we were fulfilling Talmud Torah. I mean, it's only a mitzvah Talmud Torah when you study Kodshim, but it has all the din in their eyes. Kodshim, Tarek. Kodshim, you don't have some of the exeret the Rabbanim. But Brachas, there's so much of it in the Rabbanim. Brachas, Megillah, all these din of Rabbanim, on a level of their eyes, it is all little Torah. There's only a team of Talmud Torah with the Rabbanim, so he didn't think that that was correct at all. He thought that certainly the obligation to read the Megillah and the obligation to light the Erev Chanukah and the obligation to recite all of these Brachas is only with the Rabbanim. But once the Chacham were misakin all these dinim, then it became a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh Min HaTor. So learning about these dinim would constitute a kiyam of Talmud Torah Min HaTor. By the time he thought that it was very difficult, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch paskins like one of the Hagos Maimonides, like one of the Rishonim, who says that when the Gemara has a din in the Dorim that you're not allowed to charge for teaching Divrei Torah, Ma'ani Mechinam, Afata Bechinam, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael, "Re'eli Marti Es Mukukim Mishpatim Kasher Tivani Hashem Alakoy." The Gemara takes that to mean, "Look, I taught you the Torah for nothing. I didn't charge, just like when the Rabbanu Shlom taught the Torah to me. He didn't charge me any money. So too, when I transmit the Torah to you, and so too throughout all the generations, whenever a Rebbe transmits Torah to the Talmidim, he's not permitted to charge." And the Gemara says in the end of Ksubas, in the last verse of Ksubas, that Malamdin, who gets salary, are not supposed to be salaries for teaching. The community pays them not to take a job. They pay them shkar batola, and they're teaching for nothing. They really paid not to accept any job, and the teaching is really done for nothing. So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes in the name of the Hagros Maimonides on the bottom of the Ramo that this prohibition of charging for teaching Torah only applies if you teach dinam deraita. But if I give a shir on dinam derabanan, then you're permitted to charge money because on the level of deraita, you're not really teaching Torah. It's only in the Rabbanim. As a mocker, a Gemara, the Gemara in the middle of Nedarim discusses why is it that the Malamdim get salaries for teaching the children. So the Gemara has one opinion. One opinion in the Gemara is because the young children are very wild, and the Malamdim is not only teaching them Torah, he's a babysitter as well. So he gets paid for disciplining the children. So that's not really teaching the Torah. He's allowed to get paid for being a babysitter. He's allowed to pay a babysitter. And then the Gemara has another suggestion, not that he gets paid Kar Shimur, but rather he gets paid for teaching truck. Because years ago when they used to teach Tanakh, they used to teach not only the Psukim, they used to teach with the truck. And the Gemara says, I but truck is the Raisa. The Gemara basically on a passage that truck is the Raisa. The Gemara says, this Mandama holds that truck is only the Rabbanan. So the Hagos Maimonides says, based on that Gemara, you see from that Gemara, that one is permitted to charge money for teaching something, teaching Torah, which is only Torah with the Rabbanan. Because in Marshall Parish, if Trump is the Raisa, you're not allowed to charge money for teaching the Trump. If Trump is the Rabbanan, the piece of time. It's only the Rabbanan, the Gemara and Dorm Daflam and Ches. Then you are permitted to charge. So you see that it's permissible to charge money to teach it in the Rabbanan. The Rabbi of Eichik said, however you're going to get out of the Gemara is a different. He didn't discuss that. At that occasion, he just says he doesn't think that Ramah is so strong. Even the Ramah quotes Hagoyed Mani, he thought that was a big pellet because he thought that all the din of the Rabbanon, true, the Chayvus Agava, the obligation to observe these mitzvahs, is only with the Rabbanon, but still, once the Chachamim instituted these dinim, so they become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh Min HaTorah. So when you learn these dinim and when you teach these dinim, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the level of deraita as well. It's not just the bittul Torah and the deraita on the level of the Rabbanon and Talmud Torah. the Talmud Torah on the level of the Raisa. So how can one say that you're allowed to charge money for teaching the Din of the Rabban? You're charging money for teaching Torah, they're right. Even if the Chavis HaGavit to observe these Din is only the Rabban, but still a Chavta Shal Torah. The Chavta Shal Torah, is he right? This week's Sedra, you have the Yisraelis of all the Dinim of Tahara. The Ramon Hilchos Talmud Torah quotes the Hagos Maimonides that this prohibition, Aman Mechim Apata Bechina, that you're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah, only applies if you're giving a Shia teaching Dinim Derais. But let's say I'm going to give a Shia just to teach Dinim Derabbanon, just to teach Hilchos Chanukah, just to teach Hilchos Birchas Hanenah, just to teach Dinim that are only the Rabbanon, then the Ramon quotes Hagos Maimonides, you are permitted to charge salary to give that Shia. Not only can you take Skar Batala, you can take Skar for giving the Shia itself. But Rafalevich thought that that was a very difficult opinion. Thought that once the Chachamim instituted the Dinim, so it becomes a chelik of the Torah Shebaal Peh on the level of their Raisa. And then what you're doing, you're charging the salary for teaching Torah. That's not permission. Mishnayis and Taris have the two different institutions. There's a din of Mikven, there's a din of Mayon, and it's all based on the Pasuk and Mishnah, etc. Ach mayon abor mikveh mayim yihi yeh tahor. Whenever a person or a kli is tamei, you can be metayer the person or the kli in one of two ways, either by being tovel in a mikveh, by being tovel in a mayon. The Mishnah says that there are certain cases where we insist dafke on a mayon, a zav, asav dafke a mayon, the kiddush mechapas, you need dafke a mayon. In rare cases, you need dafke a mayon, but under normal circumstances, normal people, it's sufficient either with a mikveh or with a mayon. Rashi in a few places in Shad quotes from the Gaonim such an idea. And Ramban HaChumash also quotes at the end of Parsha Shmini, I think the Ramban at the end of Parsha Shmini quotes that there were some Gaonim who are of the opinion that a Zav and a Zava have the same din. That just like a Zav needs a Mayon, Mishnah says, the Pesukim HaChumash says, in order for a Zav to be Mitar himself, he needs Tfilin a Mayon Dafke, Dafke with the source of the water from under the ground. So too, a Zobo has the same dinim as a Zav, that the Zobo also needs Mayim Chayim. A regular mikveh that has a collection of rainwater sitting in a crack in the ground, in a shever, in a neshborim, it's called the Nigamara, in a crack in the ground, that would not be acceptable. So we don't pass like that. Rabban HaChumash writes, Rashi in many places on the Gemara has this. Half of the time Rashi quotes and he doesn't disagree. The other 3-4 places where Rashi quotes it, he says that it's wrong, he quotes it to Sefta in the Gemara, where it says explicitly. Same percept of Ramana Chumash quotes, Ein Bein Zav Nizaba Elish is Zeton Maim Chaim. Zeton Maim Chaim. There's a fair that the Zaba does not need Maim Chaim. That would pose a big problem with Manazeh, because the Gemara says that even though there's a difference between a Nida and a Zaba, and most women, when they have to go to Mikvah, most married women, when they're going to Mikvah, are Nidas, they're not Zaba. But with the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Rabbi made a takana that we treat all the women as Toho, as a Sufik Nida, Sufik Zaba. So if all the women have the status of a Sufik Zaba, if you put two and two together and you say that a Zohar has the same din as a Zav, that they need Maim Chayim. So a woman cannot be told in a regular mikveh that has rainwater that's collected, that's a mikveh, that's not a mayon. You would need dafke a place where the water comes from under the ground sources, from a fountain, from a spring under the ground. So there were many who were machmer about that. The Bach and Yeridei says you should be machmer with the Rabbanim for that. Shita Sagoyim, the Goyim never mentioned our Torah. And I tell her that the Sefer says the Beirish that is Zava does not need Maim Chaim. The Rados who are Machmer about that. You have many dinim in Mishnayis Mikvahs, distinguishing between the dinim of a Mayim and the dinim of a Mikvah. A lot of Mikvahs is based on this process. Ach Mayim and Bon Mikvah Mayim Yihi Yatoham. Sukkim say several times in connection with eating these non-kosher fish and so on, v'loy z'shaktu es nafshe seichem, v'loy z'tam abohem, et meisem bom, and so on. The Gemara in Pesachim, in the second parak in Pesachim, the Gemara in the third parak in Akir, quote the memory of one of the Amoraim that there are certain non-kosher fish that if you eat them, sometimes you'll be like four times for eating the same fish. Once is eyes of the same fish. Sometimes you'll be like five times, sometimes you'll be like six times. Certain non-kosher animals, if you eat them, you get six times malchus for eating one kezayis. So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim there exactly why. The Rashi and Tosfos and the Goinim and the Ramban all on one shot. That you add up how many times it says in the Chumash that you're not permitted to eat these animals. So if it says in the Chumash four times you're not allowed to eat non-kosher animals, you get right away four times malchus for violating the exact same Avera. You know, it's just a repeat. The same pasuk is repeated four times, six times. They get malchus six times because it says six times not to eat all these non-kosher animals. This is the shita that Tosfos has. Tosfos on the first daf in Chulin is bothered with a kasha. Why, if a person makes tamura, if you have a carbon, so the Torah says le'ach lifenatay bara rabatav, you're not permitted to substitute a different. You're not permitted to attempt to substitute a different animal instead of the one that you separated, that you put aside as a carbon. Whether the new one is tov and the old one is ra, the new one is ra, the old one is tov, whether you mean the tov or the ra, you're not allowed to switch. And what if a person did switch? So the Torah says that he's in violation of an aveir, lo yachli fenu, violation of two aveirs, lo yachli fenu, but lo yamarosis. And the Mishnah says in the beginning of Tamura that the person gets malchus once. It says, loyachli fenu, he gets malchus once. The Tosfos on the first daf in Chulin is bothered with the kasha on that Mishnah in Tamura. Why doesn't he get malchus twice? There are two lavim, lo yachli fenu. Below Yomer Rosh, this is all Tosfos Mishitasim, Tosfos ones like Rashi, like the Ramban, like the Goinim. Whenever you have a kefil halav, whenever you have a prohibition that appears in the Chumash several times, so it's counted in minyan mitzvahs. And when we get malchus, according to how many times this prohibition is written in the Chumash. And the Rambam and the Rishon have disagreed with the whole thing. The Rambam and the Seif HaMitzvahs and Shoresh Tesh, as well as the Rambam and the Arach HaZok and Hilchos Macholot Asuris, makes a big point of this, and he says that it's not correct, that if the Torah writes 10 times not to eat chalev, so you don't get 10 times malchus. It only counts as one lav in the minyan mitzvah, and would only be once malchus. There's no kasha at all why you only get once malchus if you make tmura, because he's after all he's in violation of two lav, it's the same lav, it's written many times, l'chizuklinyim, to stress how important, how chomer the aver is. It's an aver hamura miyod. So the Torah stresses it twice. Sometimes the Torah stresses four or five times. Not to eat dam, not to eat chelim, and so on. But it's not that it's counted as many averes that you should be loike many times. You only loike once. And the reason why the Gemara says in the second parak in Sochim and in the third parak in Makis that sometimes if you eat these non-kosher fish and non-kosher animals, you get several times malchus, is not because you just add up all the psukim and parsha shemini that it says loike tam abahem yitz meitam bam. You don't just add it up. The Rambam says no, that there's an iser to eat the sherat ta'ot, and there's an iser to eat the sherat ha'mayin, and there's an iser to eat the sherat ta'oret. Sherat that swims is one iser, sherat that crawls on the ground is another iser, sherat that swims is the third iser. So if you have an animal that swims and it flies and it crawls on the ground, so it's all three. So the Rambam says you'd be like it three times. And then he says if you have a sherat that has the six lavim, I think Morris says, the maximum that one can be over at six other. Six lavim, you really over on six different shots and the six different things. If you happen to have one animal that has all of these six properties, so then you're over on six lavim, but that's not because of the kefil halav. It's not that it's just a repeat. It's not just a repetition of the same nisr. Each nisr represents a different kind of a share. It happens to be that it's one share. It has all of the six qualities to it. The Ravid on the Rambam is Masig in Hilchos Macholot Asuris, and he says, he makes fun of the Rambam a little bit, he calls him a collector. So he says that this collector collected animals that don't exist. He says, where do you have an animal that flies and it swims and it crawls? There is no such thing. That's not Sagas or Ravid. What's the Ravid's kasha? Obviously, the Rambam has a different one now. What's so difficult? You can't. We even have machines. You have an airplane that can swim and fly and crawl on the ground. The Tzaddikim couldn't make such an animal that swims and flies and crawls on the ground. So the rabbi gets so excited. The rabbi in Perik Beis and Machola Tatsu, the Tzaddikim and Tzaddikim, and Ma'asif Hazeh, Asaf Baram Shein Abayla. Shalosh Shemayin and Yamein, and the Mola Gedela, the Mayim, the Losher, the Tzaddikim, the Tzaddikim, the Tzaddikim, what is he talking about? The rabbi asked on the Ram, what is he talking about? No such animal exists. Quotes from the Tisa, the animal that lives. Remember one of the Rabbein and Yeshiva, Rav Yerel, said over the name of his Rebbe, Rav Avraham Soloveitchik, that he thought that the Avada, the animal, exists. But the Rav Tastoga was a different time, that in biology or in botany, biology, you divide all of the animals into different categories. You have birds, then you have beasts, then you have fish. So the writer meant to say like this: let's say you have a bird that's walking on the ground. Oh, so you say it's a sheret ha'aretz, it's a non-kosher bird. Oh, just the kind of sheret ha'aretz. No, it's a bird. A bird is a sheret ha'aretz. Once in a while, you have a bird that'll swim also. So, oh, just became a sheret ha'mayim. No, a sheret ha'mayim means a fish. It doesn't mean an animal that's not kosher sheret that happens to be swimming. Just because it happens to be swimming. Let's say human beings live on the dry land, we don't live in the water. But if a person swims in the water, so he becomes a fish? Doesn't become a fish. There's a different halashem in English. There's a different classification for animals that live on the dry land and animals. You have animals that live in the water that walk on the dry land once in a while. Then you have animals that live on the dry land that walk in the water once in a while. A guy lives in a submarine, he becomes an amphibious animal. He doesn't change. So that was the Ravid's time. The Ravid is not asking that a Metzias, the animal, doesn't exist. He's asking, how can the Rambam say that he's Zeivan Sheretz HaMayim, Sheretz HaOyv, Sheretz HaOretz? What is it? Either it belongs to category A, category B, or category C. It can't belong to all three categories. So what taka the Rambam shita? Why does the Rambam hold that? The Rambam understood the Gemara that you look at all three. So he said that Rabel Vela Salvechik to death of Shad, based on the comment that the Gemara has. It says, Zizelachem HaTami Vasheretz HaSheretz Al HaOretz. So the Gemara says in Menachem, see the Teretz Mima quote, that the Vizeh always refers to something that's visible and tangible and visible, like we discussed before Pesach. The name is Zeh Sarer Amoreh, the Gemara says that the whole Dina Ben Sarer Amoreh only applies if the parents are able to see it. If the parents are blind, so there's no Dina Ben Sarer Amoreh. And the same thing, Ba'al Vizeh Rasa Hashem Li, B'Tzeh Mitzrayim, the Gemara says, B'Shosh Sheh Shmat Amor Menachem Ofan Echa, you have to have it, it has to be tangible, and it has to be visible, that it's Tumas, Pasam Eloi Mahagod. A blind person can't say Zeh. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Zalachem Hatamei," he must have been picking up every animal. That's how the Gemara says in Menachos on Daf Kof Tes, the third Yom Tov. He picked up every animal and Haralahem and Nei Sotom here. See this? This is a kosher animal. This is a treif animal. He showed him a treif animal. So why was it? What was the significance of showing the treif animal? So Rabbeinu will suggest that according to the Rambam, maybe that's the biur. That these dinim of Sheret Hamayim, Sheret Oyv, and Sheret Oyv don't depend on what the animal really is. The atzmusa, based on biological categories, based on classifications, it all depends on what it looks like. If it looks like, if it swims, and it flies, and it walks, even though it's really an animal that's basically of the dry land, or it's basically a bird, or it's basically a fish, it doesn't matter. As long as to the person who's looking and watching, it looks like it swims, and it flies, and it walks, then you're right around all three. That's where the Rambam holds. That in order to be over on these Yisurim, it doesn't have to be labeled as such, Le'olam Void, as a Sheret HaMayim, that its Iker habitat is in the water, or a Sheret HaOf, that its main kun is, that it flies and so on. Okay.